The following podcast may contain spoilers, strong language, graphic violence, and nudity. Viewer discretion is advised. Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice.
Four guys and a movie. Four guys and a movie. Donnie, Brian, Rob, and Joe reviewing movies for the show. Four guys and a movie.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Four Guys in a Movie podcast, where four questionably friends watch movies from the past and see how they hold up to their older, more cynical selves. My name is Rob, and I am joined today by my friends.
Brian.
Beetlejuice.
Other Beetlejuice.
Wow, we have two Beetlejuices today. If we get a third unnamed person of the same name, we'll have probably... No? Okay. So, this week we did Beetlejuice from 1988.
Chia.
Chia, indeed. That wasn't a 20, right? That was just an actual...
No, that was just a regular roll.
I just moseyed onto the list.
The list finally made a, you know, a good roll. Like,
yeah.
It was like, nice fucking podcast.
So, yeah, and we were coming right off of our Halloween episode, Ernest Scared Stupid. And it was really questionable as to whether Joe would talk to any of us again. After that, so
really, we needed this after Ernest.
We did. It was a good palate cleanser.
Yeah,
I have to say, I know Joe watched the movie separately from the rest of us, but this was one of those movies that I think, not to speak to all of our history with the movie, but I think we all pretty much know it so well that we were like barely paying attention to what was happening. Like we just know the movie, and we were just joking around the whole time.
Pretty much,
it was a good time.
Plus Matt was here too.
Plus Matt was here.
I was trying to pay attention.
Well, okay.
This is one of those movies that I know all the scenes to, but not in any order.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's very fair.
I wrote down what order they went in.
I did the same, as a matter of fact.
Oh, I know this movie very well.
So, I know you know this movie very well, so why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Oh, this is Tony, by the way. Not Beetlejuice, it's Tony.
Well, you know what? If you haven't figured that out by now...
But he's not here all the time, so the first listener wouldn't know.
Okay.
We have the same hairline, right?
Kind of going for the shame spell.
Oh, sorry.
Saying if you don't recognize Tony's voice, you're not a good enough fan. So you need to A, go to our website at 4ampodcast.podbean.com, check out our archives for older episodes, and go to our merch store at teespring.com/4ampodcast and buy some merchandise. A t-shirt for atonement and sponsorship.
I see what you're doing there, but let's keep in mind that listeners that have been listening to us since the beginning that know us personally still can't tell you and me apart most of the time. So... it's probably best that I say.
I'm the one that's slurring a little bit, usually.
Can I be Beetle Joe? Is that okay?
If you know what? If you really feel the need to, sure.
All right.
So, yeah. Beetlejuice.
I didn't put my shame spell.
1988.
I was expecting that.
Directed by Tim Burton, of course, returning to the Burtonverse. The director of Pee-wee's Big Adventure, Batman, Edward Scissorhands, Ed Wood, and so on.
And pretty much the same movie over and over again for the next 10 or 20 movies.
No, just...
Well, it's getting it worse each time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yes.
But it will all, from then on, have Helena Bonham Carter and Johnny Depp.
Mm-hmm.
But, the original script for this movie was actually supposed to be a horror movie. It's much darker with some potential rape issues between Beetlejuice and Lydia. Yeah.
Thank God they didn't do that.
Mm-hmm. And it became a children's cartoon show.
Hey, Lids!
Isn't that fantastic?
I do love how they just straight up ignored the events of this film and were just like, Beetlejuice and Lydia go on adventures.
Yeah, they're just friends.
Well, like, yeah.
They hang out.
Especially since they literally just were like, okay, the ending, they like get rid of Beetlejuice and they, you know, she lives happily with the other two ghosts. But now those other two ghosts are gone and throw Beetlejuice back in there. Like, yeah,
like I get it. Like, you know how like sometimes there's that bully that bothers you at school and then like y'all get in a fight and then y'all are friends? Like, because you kind of beat them up. But like, so then y'all are friends later? Like,
yeah, but usually it's not a rapey demon with dick fingers. Yes,
true. True.
Yeah, generally he's not, you know, trying to materialize in your toilet so he can watch you pee. Anyway, so of course that was before Tim Burton got the script. He changed it to a more comedic tone. The visual effects budget was $1 million, which is actually fairly low at the time.
It's a 1 million round number.
I gotta clap. Oh, okay. Yeah, Birdemic.
Gotta clap.
Right.
$1 million.
But so as a result, Tim Burton decided to, you know, go with a more B-movie style thing, much like he did with Mars Attacks. Though I think it works a lot better here. Anyway.
Mars Attacks was trying way too hard.
Yeah, it really was. It probably had way too much money behind it, too.
Well, the other difference was, like, this movie, he was like, let's have fun. That movie, they were like, let's just be bad.
You think that's a... Well, that's what the board meeting just ended in.
Well, they went for the different B movie aspects.
Yeah, yeah, they were trying to be a B movie, which never really works.
Well, I think part of the problem is like you didn't have a good start to your movie. You just threw a bunch of tropes together and were like, that's a movie. Like,
apparently making. Did Ed Wood come out before or after Mars Attacks?
After.
Oh, okay. So you should have done research beforehand.
Probably. But the studio originally was going to call this movie Ghost House, and Tim Burton jokingly suggested call it Scared Sheetless, and was quite frightened to find out the studio was actually considering it.
Wow. Yeah. That was the worst.
There were a lot of ideas he had with this whole franchise that they were just like, all right, let's go with that. And he was like, are you serious?
One they didn't go with was casting Sammy Davis Jr. in the role of Beetlejuice. Because he was a big fan and he just wanted to make that happen.
Who was a big fan? Oh, Tim Burton was a big fan.
How old would he been at 88?
He was still alive at that point?
Yeah, he was still alive, yeah.
Yeah, we were kids, yeah.
He's probably too old to be doing this, but I guess depending on what you want him to do.
Is that... Never mind.
But
Eat a Dorito.
No, just like...
Eat a Dorito!
You know that show,
Dorito.
Right, you know that show,
Dorito. Big Mouth.
Yeah, that show. It's pretty much that, right? It'd be pretty much that.
Eat a Dorito.
You should have eaten the Dorito. All right. Another possible casting choice for Beetlejuice that was considered: Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Sure,
of course.
Wow. Yeah.
But they were like, you know, he's kind of known as an action guy. I don't think this would work. But I guess somebody thought it was a good idea.
They were correct.
But they also considered Robin Williams, Christopher Lloyd, Jim Carrey, Tim Curry, Jack Nicholson, and Bill Murray all for the role as well. Some of those I think could have worked.
Yeah, some of those could have worked.
But none quite beat Michael Keaton, who actually ad-libbed most of his performance for this movie.
No.
And, of course... Because the movie did so well, there was talks of a sequel to be made called Beetlejuice Goes Hawaiian, which was then shelved, but is still in talks of being made at some point in the near future.
Well, if I remember right, like Tim Burton just shot that out there as a joke. Right?
I think so.
Because he was like, why were we making a sequel to this? And the studio was like, but money.
Mm-hmm. Which is, I think also...
But apparently Michael Keaton wants to do it, though, right?
I mean, money.
I think that's kind of, yeah.
Well, he's getting those Spider-Man checks now.
But yeah. It's also the same way. I recently heard some news. It's kind of date the podcast, I guess. But there's talks of a Breaking Bad movie. It's like, anyone that watched that knows there's really nowhere else for that to go.
Never seen it.
The ending is rather final. Just put it that way.
But money.
But money, yeah.
But Tony, money.
Yeah, I guess there are other...
They're just going to stretch the Fly episode to 2.5 hours.
That's be about the Fly.
No, I think Michael Keaton, though, I think he switched his position, if I remember right, after, like, you know, he starred, like, Spider-Man and Birdman and all the other Man movies he made that, like, won him Oscars and
Batman, Birdman,
critical
Spider-Man.
Acclaim. Mm-hmm.
Well, I believe the return of this came when he was... Shoot, I don't remember now. It might have been Birdman. There was another movie he did recently, and he was being interviewed about it. Sure. And, like, someone jokingly said, or well, maybe not joking, but was like, you know, when are we going to get that Beetlejuice sequel? And I think it was, like, Bill Hader was on the stage as well and just said, why don't you say Beetlejuice 3 times and see what happens? And, like, the ball just kind of started rolling. People were talking about it. So
now there's a script.
Yeah, so now it's probably going to happen.
A script that was crowdsourced at Comic-Con. What could possibly go wrong? Speaking of going wrong, is that what happened to, what's her face in this movie? Oh, why can't I remember? Winona Ryder?
Oh, what about
her? Is that what, like, she had that big crash, like, you know, a few years back. Is it because of Helena Bonham Carter? Like, she just ousted.
That was my spot.
Yeah, like, seriously. Like, I feel like
might be
Michael Keaton and you know, Winona Ryder got ousted by Johnny Depp and Helena Bonham Carter. And they're like, I just imagine them all being in this, like, Tim Burton's Muppet Babies scenario. They're all just, like, hanging out in the playpen waiting for, I guess, Tim Burton as Nanny to come in, and you can only see him from, like, the knees down. See, and
I figured that it was, like, a thing where she actually questioned it, where he's like, you know what, we're gonna get Johnny Depp to come back. He's gonna be the Mad Hatter, and we'll get Helena Bonham Carter to be the Queen, and Winona Ryder, you could be Alice. And she was just like, this seems like a bad idea. Yeah, and he was just like, you're dead to me.
It's over.
You'll never work in Hollywood again.
You're going to have Deep Roy play all the little guys? That sounds stupid.
If Eddie Murphy can do it.
Yeah. Well, that's probably the only thing that worked in that
movie. That's a can / should.
Yeah, let's not go saying. Yeah. Let's not be handing out the ribbon for prize picks just yet. Also, if you ever are in a scenario where two people are actually named Scooter and Skeeter, get out. Just get out.
Oh, Black Cherry. Okay.
All right. So, does anyone want to guess how much money this movie cost to make?
You said it had an effects budget of $1 million. This was pre-Batman, so Michael Keaton probably wasn't pulling that much dough. I'm going to say...
obviously not enough. The budget was low for that.
I'm going to say $16
million. $23 million.
Feeling 10.
Good call, Joe. It's actually $15
million.
Oh. Just a little too high there, Rob.
Oh.
Want to guess at how much it made?
More than that.
I'm going to say $60
million. $61
million. Damn it, Brian.
$1?
Damn it, Joe.
Goes to Brian. No, admittedly, I don't have worldwide, only domestic, but it made $75 million.
Damn, all right.
Box office. So, that's pretty good. Yeah, it was a success.
All right, who's in this heap of crap, Joe? Finish your Dorito.
Everyone's in this heap of crap.
Well, who had actual speaking lines?
So, you got Alec Baldwin as Adam, Gina Davis as Barbara, Winona Ryder as Lydia, Michael Keaton as Beetlejuice, Catherine O'Hara as Delia, Jeffrey Jones as Charles, and Glenn Shadix as Otho.
All right. Jeffrey Jones, you are officially also, the...
Do not forget about a special guest appearance by Goulet.
Goulet.
I'm allergic. Actually, speaking of special guest appearances... nope. I've got a very special fat chat for all of us.
Oh,
shoot.
That's a Target bag.
It is a Target bag.
Beetlejuice cookies? Beetlejuice cookies.
It's not. It's Reese's Outrageous bars.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty close.
It's a brandy spanking new candy bar from Reese's. Reese's.
Like the monkey?
This is. I didn't think this was out yet.
Oh, yeah. It's out. So it's milk chocolate, peanut butter, and caramel, but then it's got teeny tiny Reese's Pieces inside of it, too.
Chill. God
damn it.
I'm kind of scared. This might be too much going on.
Just put it in your mouth. Just put it in your mouth.
Yeah. Oh, it's going in my mouth. That's
in your mouth.
Close your eyes.
I put anything given to me in my mouth, whether it goes there or not.
As Beetlejuice said in his commercial, I'll swallow anything you want.
I'll swallow anything.
All right. I like this.
Are some good stuff.
I like how Brian's artificially making noise just so there's no dead air while
we just... Yep.
Because Brian's a professional.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is it
the crunchy is so sticky would suffice.
Now, is it wrong that I'm thinking I would like to put a little more peanut butter on here?
No, I was actually going to say, I think this could use a little bit more peanut butter. Like, if it was, like, peanut butter Twix level, like, combination, but with the Reese's Pieces on it.
But one jar of peanut butter will solve that, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Well, mm-hmm.
And then it will be...
shove any candy bar in a jar of peanut butter, and you're doing pretty well. Except for a fucking Mounds bar. Shove that thing in the trash can.
Agreed.
Or a Charleston Chew, that probably wouldn't work.
That's another one that I don't regard as a candy bar.
That's a waste of time. So what that is,
it just does not qualify as a candy bar to you.
So like, I mean, physically it is, but it's just it's not worth my time. Yeah, like Rob said.
So when I was sick, you know, I was watching a bunch of cable because I had access to cable at that point. But I feel like Rob had taken control of the commercials because one of the every four commercials was for a fucking Crunch bar. I'm like, who the fuck eats these? But apparently people do, Rob.
You know that still have cable.
You put that in peanut butter, you got a good time.
So you make it different and it tastes better? All right, I believe you.
I'll eat it raw.
I'll leave it alone. Leave that alone.
You can soundbite that if you want.
Just make that a t-shirt. I'll eat that raw. Rob Etruya 2018.
Put that on my gravestone.
All right, we probably should start
also
this off.
2018.
Get this started.
All right, so we are we're panning over this quaint little New England town. Turns out to be Connecticut. Who knew?
I knew.
And we focus in on the Maitlands. This young little couple.
Oh, that music though.
Well, yes, we start out with Danny Elfman, Danny Elfman all over our faces.
Well, it's Danny Elfman being told to Danny Elfman by Tim Burton, that particular Danny Elfman.
Yes, really,
first you start out with a creepy version of the Calypso song, Deo. Mm-hmm. Then we go into Danny Elfman.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Who's singing that song?
I have no idea.
That's not Belafonte, right? That's, I don't know who that is, because they don't even say in the credits who actually performs it.
I don't know.
They just said who wrote it.
Yeah, I'm totally blanking.
I thought it was Harry Belafonte. I could be totally wrong, and I apologize if
probably
I am.
Are.
It's Harry Belafonte possessing somebody else.
Okay, that sounds good. But
Catherine O'Hara.
Yes, so we do get that song, which is why it is now on everyone's Halloween playlist.
You know, let's mix it up. That's fine.
I'm not necessarily mad about that. It just ends up in the rotation way too much, I think.
Well, there's just like 12 songs.
Yeah. How many times would you prefer to listen to Monster Mash?
Oh, my God. Oh,
dude, there are so many different versions of that song.
I know.
It's so bad.
I know. I've never been a fan of a Halloween music.
All right. See, I like to have seasonal music sometimes. Only the week of said event. But like, I want to listen to the Blob song.
Yeah, but it's... It's so easy to like fart out a spooky dirge on a keyboard and a drum kit. Like it's just
all right, Joe.
So easy for you. I have
most of
talent.
Ghost stuff could be on that list as well.
I mean, that's fine. That's good stuff. Like I'm saying, you don't need to go seek out like the Halloween songs. They're not.
Oh well,
some of us have no musical talent.
Like a Charleston chew, they're not worth your time.
They're worth my time. My time.
I'll eat one though.
My time is not at all precious.
Yeah, this day, I'll eat it.
If you're having a Halloween party.
Most things, if they're there, I'll eat them.
If you're having a Halloween party, you want some Halloween music. You throw on the Beetlejuice theme. You have Thriller at some point. That's you know, it's a good time.
I like driving around with crunchy leaves, chilly air, and spoopy music.
That's fine, too.
That's what I like.
And to our West Coast fans out there, leaves are these things that grow on trees.
Yeah.
Some states, they fall off and fall.
They turn.
Our Southwest fans.
They turn crazy colors when you know, the October each season rolls around.
If you live in New England, all these people from out of state come driving through your area just to see the colors change. And you're like, get out of my state!
It looks like the whole world's on fire.
Yeah.
What for is our California listeners, hell. Fall is the time of year when it gets all cold.
And in California, your whole world probably is on fire.
That's true.
That's about when summer. Fall arrives. It's just when the summer has dried everything out and now it's on fire. Like, what fall's here?
Yep. So anyway, what the hell were we talking about? Oh, the theme song.
We didn't get past the beginning.
Yeah, so
again.
Enter the Maitlands. We've got Alec Baldwin. I almost said Alex Guinness, which still would have been wrong on every level.
What a slightly different movie.
I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. So Alec Baldwin and Gina Davis.
Gina Chinnis.
Chenna Davis.
How can you get drunk that fast?
Have you met Rob?
I'm not drunk. I'm just.
But we're related.
I'm sleep deprived.
No.
So yeah, they're going on vacation, and the first thing I noted was they give each other gifts for going on vacation.
They love each other.
Yeah, Well, like, I think they're still kind of newly married. They're you know, they're having their first time together. Whatever. It's a thing.
Their first time together.
Well, I mean, their first holiday together.
What holiday?
Well, holiday in the English sense, first vacation.
You mean
whatever.
The British sense?
British sense. What did I say?
It's in English sense.
Okay. My point is, they're
like the Madonna's accent.
Yes,
they're going on holiday.
Yes. The point is, this is the first time they're taking time off of work to just spend together. Yeah. They're staying at home instead of going somewhere. Well, it's the
first time, what's his name? Adam is taking time off that model that he's building.
Well, no, he's not doing
well,
that.
Well, here's the thing.
He's still
That's
doing
true. He's still not. Working he's on working, that working on
but
that.
But his
yeah.
job is that he owns the hobby shop in town.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just not, he's not going to the hobby shop. He's just going to the hobby shop to get supplies to do hobbies at home.
Yeah.
Okay.
Either way, he's got a sweet-ass model of the town.
That'd be like if you own the toy store, Rob, and you want to take time off. And you
I
want
wouldn't
to
take time
the,
off.
The new toys that come in, you close the store, and like, I'm playing with
store
these myself.
The store would never be open.
It wouldn't be a store.
Yeah. It'd be like when Eric Cartman had the theme park.
Just for him.
Yeah, you got to let like two people in today just to pay for, pay for electricity. I'd be like, screw it. I'll play in the dark.
But like, they're getting cutesy. They keep kissing each other, and they're, you know, whatever. They're having fun, so they exchange gifts.
Sure. I have one question about something we skipped. How did you react to the spider, Brian?
Not well.
Not well.
No, because yeah, it was gigantic. It was bigger than the house.
My words were, and kill it with fire.
Well, his words like, were, where the hell would you live that there would be a spider that big?
Yeah, first, nowhere in New England are there spiders that
and then,
big.
Well, but
well, there are, but not that kind of spider. Yeah.
But that was before we even knew it was in Connecticut.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, it's Connecticut. That's where spiders are that big.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are orb weavers in, like, around here that get big. Brown recluse can get big, too, but like, that kind of spider?
Around? There's no brown recluse around here.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Those were only lived in Australia.
No.
Are you thinking of like wolf spiders?
Either way, or? Like.
No, those are here too. Yeah.
Even with the perspective trick, which this spider shows up with, I'm like, even when he's just holding it in his hand, that's a big ass spider.
Hairy ass spider. Like, yo.
It's like the size of his nose.
It was like a baby tarantula. I'm like, yo, that's not right for around here. Like,
how delicately and daintily he just throws it out the fucking attic window.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, to be fair, if you ever see a spider like that in your house, fumigate, because that is not a joke.
It's like, later, spider. I'll see you in literally a half hour when you crawl back up to your home.
Yeah, maybe
I live here.
Yeah, like,
well, now we know he threw him into Saturn.
Although, missed opportunity, they could have had Spider and Beetlejuice fight at some point in the movie, but
Would they have fought or would they have made sweet love?
Probably would have made love. You're right.
Maybe Beetlejuice could have been riding on him when he was a cowboy.
Ooh, that would have been. That would have been terrifying.
Mm-hmm. But the special effects would not allow it.
But yeah, so like they're in their car and they're like driving around, and like a dog passes them at one point, and then they keep driving, and the same dog passes them again. Yeah.
That dog, the dog is going for the kill. Like, this is premeditated.
That dog is Tony Todd in disguise. Mm. I'm sorry, that's some Final Destination shit.
And who's this weirdo outside the hobby store?
Unimportant.
Just talking, rambling.
We were also rambling over this scene, so I have no idea what he said.
Oh, it was not important. He's just like...
Something about the war, probably.
Yeah, it was like local old man, so I think Alec Baldwin asked him a question, and he was just like, here's a 20-minute story about something that's loosely related to what you asked.
Hands him a newspaper, says, old man yells at sky.
Yes. Yells at cloud, I believe.
So, yeah, here's where that dog comes back again.
Yeah.
And Adam, like an asshole, is just like, watch out for that dog, and like shanks the wheel like 90 degrees to the left.
I don't trust you know how to drive.
Yeah.
You can't drive. You're a woman.
The views and opinions expressed by Rob and Tony are theirs, not the rest of the podcast.
I'm expressing the views and opinions of Alec Baldwin in this movie, not my own.
Yeah, Brian's are way worse.
And I keep them to myself.
So
they go through the side of this covered bridge.
I love me some covered bridges, man.
Like, for real.
I was mad that they put a hole in this.
Yeah, it was really nice.
That's a shame.
I hope they built that town a new covered bridge.
I'm sure they did. It was probably an historic landmark. They probably had to.
Ichabod Crane used to run through there.
Taxes were raised.
But yeah, so they're hanging on by a thread or by a
dog
beam. Yeah, with a dog on it. And the dog is just like, fuck you guys.
Yeah, evil ass dog. Like, like it ran in front of them. They didn't hit it. But then like at the end, it's literally the only thing that's keeping them from falling into the water. Looks at them and goes, Earth, and just jumps the fuck off. And then they crash in the water. And then looks down at them afterwards like, fuck you. And then
runs away. It said that shit. It did.
So oftentimes I get mad at movies for like jazzing stuff up too much that don't need to be jazzed up. Like if this movie were made today, that car would explode and it would fall like 100 feet. Yeah, like it hit like another car or something terrible, like a plane would crash into it or something.
That scene from Toontz's.
Yeah.
The car goes over the cliff.
Yeah, over the cliff. But this one, it really looks like it wasn't that fatal.
Like, no, like it looks like, oh, we fell in the water, honey. Let's get out.
Now, I'll admit, like going in a car upside down, sinking into the water is probably scary as hell. But that's like, it looks like you could have just been like, that sucked and got out.
Yeah, they drowned.
I think that was they might have gotten a head injury and drowned or something.
That could have been. Maybe they were just knocked unconscious.
Yeah.
To be fair, I did find out in the making of this, I believe they built that bridge so they could destroy it. But also, it was like over a small creek that they had to like dam up to make it look like a legitimate river or something, because there was just like nothing.
So then they're just home.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that sucked.
Yeah. Well, I think part of the reason it didn't look that fatal may have been kind of part of the misdirect to make you think that, oh, well, they're home, so they're fine.
But yeah, they're not sure how they got home, but there's a fire lit, oddly enough.
And we didn't light it.
Oh, Lord Jesus, there's a fire.
But let's go hang out by it.
Well, they're still wet, so they want to dry off. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if I came home and I was wet and I found a fire in the fireplace that I didn't light, I'd be checking the whole house before I sit down by that fire.
Well, that's what Adam did. Basically, he was like, let me go see what's going on. He like goes outside and then he's just on Saturn.
No.
That's after.
Yeah, that's after.
Davis catches her hand on fire.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Well, yeah, that was after she did Candle Fingers.
After that, that puppet hand was put on fire.
Birthday hands.
Mm. Well, you know, they figured the spider lit them a fire for them.
Thanks. Thanks for being nice to me.
So, yeah.
He threw me out a damn window.
Yeah, but it's all right, though.
The spider just comes back. Everybody gets one.
So, yeah, the Maitlands soon find out that Soundstage B is right outside their door. Which is just a green screen made to look like, I guess, it's like a Star Trek world, pretty much.
They never explain that other world.
It's Saturn.
They're on Arrakis.
It is in fact Saturn.
Yeah.
It is said to be Saturn.
Yeah, but what?
I think that just the general idea of like, because you're a ghost now, you can't leave this premises, so you get transported to scary place where things
are. Saturn, though?
This is kind of unreliable narrator situation.
Is Saturn even a solid planet?
No, it's a gas giant.
Yeah.
I was going to say,
there's nothing there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This is unreliable narrator situation. Beetlejuice calls it Saturn. Who the fuck knows? It's a thing.
It's yellow. Saturn's yellow. That's could be as far as his association got.
Okay. Or maybe it's like the Saturn car manufacturing plant. Maybe. And it's so desolate and awful.
Maybe it's the Saturn from, Earth 46.
Maybe it's a Sega Saturn.
It might be a Sega Saturn.
You get teleported inside a Sega Saturn.
Those graphics? Yeah, it could be.
So do we think of this sandworm? Well, we don't really get a good glimpse of it at this point, right? We just see it sort of like breaching the sand and
we never roll back down.
Yeah.
But I like the little touch of, Alec Baldwin gets pulled back in.
Mm-hmm. There's a little door hanging in midair. You kind of expect the sandworm to come up and have like Sully and the little girl stuck in his teeth or something.
But I also like that, he was going for, I think it was 2 hours.
Yeah.
And in the 2 seconds we saw him or whatever. Like, that's a nice touch.
Yep.
Just letting you showing you that, things aren't quite what they seem, and, like, just don't get too caught up in details.
But these sandworms, they sure are Tim Burton, aren't they?
Yes.
Yes, they are.
But at this point, It wasn't like Tim Burton. It was just like, oh wow, I've never seen something like that before.
Yeah true.
I love these sandworms. Yeah. You shut your mouth.
So like Adam, he looks around, he sees a book that wasn't there before. It's the manual for the recently deceased.
They also see that don't have reflections. Barbara's been noticing that.
Yeah, she picks up a little horse in front of the mirror to show, like, you see the horse in the mirror, but
one of her many horses.
One of her many horses. They're country folk, Ron. Just leave her alone.
Listen, I'm not judging. I have enough plastic garbage that I can't say crap about
just crap. Just because her horses don't transform.
Just a casual glance around this room, I can see at least three T-Rexes. I know there's at least three in the other room.
Wait, you see three in here?
Yeah.
Right over there.
Just right in...
Oh, you...
I'm always looking at
them. You're not lying. Right. I was like, he's just... He's putting on a neck.
Nope, this is not hyperbole. Yeah.
There's three T-Rexes. Okay, all right. Well,
just because...
Wait, Rob, do you have a horse that transforms?
I do.
Okay. Yes.
And it actually has hair, too.
Yeah. Yeah, Rob.
His name is Mott Kick, and I love him.
Just because the horses she collects don't have little colorful tattoos on their butts like the ones you collect doesn't make her wrong or...
Wait, what?
He called you a brony.
Oh, it took me a minute.
Yeah.
I'm not a brony. It's Tony, let me explain to you. Furries are different than bronies. Okay?
Jeez.
Dude, they're going to laugh about this in my next snuggle party.
Oh, man.
Is that what they're called?
I have no idea. You tell me.
Guys, if you're a furry out there, can you please write into the 4ampodcast@gmail.com and let us know what furry snuggle parties are called?
I am so glad you opened the emails.
No pictures.
Just too late now.
I mean, I guess, just...
I mean, pictures or didn't happen, so...
Yeah, you can send pictures. That's fine. I don't care.
Anyway.
So, yeah.
We love everyone
here. We get a little brief shot of Beetlejuice just reading the paper, like just the back shot of him. Yeah. And he's like, oh... He's like, I see these, what's their last name again?
Maitland.
Yeah, I see these Maitlands just recently died. They look like a bunch of suckers. Let me go over there.
Yeah, he's looking for work. Mm-hmm. For something.
In the obituaries, get it?
You see, their house is for sale. And then it just jumps right to them, the house being bought.
Yeah, good.
Well, they've been, like, keeping busy in the attic for a little bit. And then you see, people are moving in.
Well, it's like Narnia rules. Time is just passing in a different...
Yeah. I was going to say, they also nice, like I mentioned it before, because they nicely establish like time might just move differently. You don't know. If they fall asleep, when they wake up, their house is sold. Like,
Plus, like, you don't know how long they were dead for. They could have like not immediately gone back to the house. They could have been dead for a while and finally manifest in the house. Like,
and even more than that, again, cleverly set up prior. There's a very annoying woman that's telling them someone wants to bid on their house before they even die.
Yeah.
Which that woman sucks.
Yep.
Yeah. She's like, oh, by the way, you're barren.
Yeah. Like, you can't have kids to sell to somebody with some. Yeah. Like,
or at least had a miscarriage.
Well,
something happened, basically.
She's implying they don't have children, not that they can't.
No, because she's like, says it and she's like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, she said it like something had happened, basically.
Yeah, but like, my response to that would be like, yeah, well, we have money and hobbies, okay? So goodbye. Mm.
That is your response, Mabel? Well,
that is my response, as a matter of fact.
That house they wanted $265,000 for, which I guess in '88 probably would have been a good amount of money, but like that house would be worth a lot.
Oh,
now.
It'd be like at least five now.
Yeah.
In Connecticut? No.
Anyways, so one thing I don't get here. So we see they do basically, like, right out the gate, get rudimentary, like, telekinetic powers.
Right.
Where they can lock doors, they can close doors. Yeah. And all that, and they're like, we need to scare these people out of the house. I would just bitch slap them. Like, anytime like I could get my hands on them, I would just haul off and just fucking slap them.
Like, literally, I said that watching the movie. Yeah. I said, why wasn't that the first go-to to throw shit around the house?
Yeah. No. Here's the thing. I will give them that. Like, I think they played it smart. They had some good idea. Like, because this right off the bat is part of why I love it. This is some creepy shit, especially for a kid's PG movie. Like when she's hung herself in the closet and rips her face off.
Wait, this is a PG movie?
This is PG.
Oh, okay.
This is when PG-13 hadn't quite gotten its ground yet.
There's no blood and like two swears.
But it's an F-bomb though.
True.
Yeah, it wouldn't fly today, but back then you got away with it.
This would be a hard R right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I might get away with PG-13.
PG-13.
But anyway, but like, I'm totally with them doing that, because like, if they had seen that, that would have been enough. That would have driven them out of the house. But immediately when you can tell they can't see you, try something else.
Yeah. Like, I would have done it to one of them. Probably Delia would have just slapped her every minute or so. Because, you know, she
feel a certain way about Delia.
Yeah, obviously. Well, no, but like, she can't prove that it's a ghost. It's just that she's just getting slapped every minute or so.
Yeah, but
like,
okay.
And then everyone else will think she's crazy, and eventually, like, they're gonna have to go.
I wouldn't go for Delia though. I would go for the mom, because
Delia
is the mom. Yeah.
Oh, Lydia is the daughter. Okay. Yeah. No, you're right.
Lydia would have seen them.
No. I think the problem is you need to go to Charles, because Delia doesn't want to be there. Charles is in charge.
Actually, yeah. Once I figured that out, yeah.
Charles is in charge.
Although
Charles is not in charge.
He seems like he probably likes getting slapped around.
Yeah.
Between her, Delia and Otho, I think if you just waited until they got to the top of the stairs and just kicked their shins out, would have ended this quickly.
Can we talk about freaking Otho for a minute and why he just lives there house?
Everyone's seen Beetlejuice, right? We understand it. Okay, you got Charles as the dad, Delia's the mom, Lydia's the daughter, Lydia's super goth daughter. Yeah. Celia's super crazy, and Charles just wants that, like, Connecticut relaxing, rustic lifestyle.
He wants a place in the woods away from the school.
Yeah, he wants a very special episode of Smart Guy.
And Otho is just he's Otho.
Yeah, but why is he there?
He's her interior design.
Yes.
Why is he there?
He makes a living just bilking her for money.
Pretty much.
Yeah. He is just on premise.
He has assured her that he is cool and knows what is cool. Yeah. And she needs him now.
You know what's cool?
He is there because he's getting paid and because Delia allows it.
This hostess cupcake is cool.
Yeah, he has convinced her that she needs his validation at all times. And that Charles needs to give him money to get his wife to
shut
up.
To be fair, she is not getting it from anywhere else.
No. Well, her and Charles, like, we don't really get to understand their marriage too well, but it's like...
It's strained.
They are very opposite people.
Yes.
Well, she's a creative.
Yeah.
And he funds her.
Well, and what I think...
Yeah.
Basically. I think what's kind of implied that happened is that Charles used to be like crazy like her, probably, but about his job. And then I think he was like, he had some kind of incident and he had to like step back and he's like, I need to relax. That's why they're out there. And he's like, I need to kind of let go. But she's still like,
well, the FBI confiscated his hard drive.
Indeed. Yeah.
Well, some of that might be true, but like, just in general, like they seem to like connect well. They do have some chemistry. But, like, yeah, she's just, like, super artsy and out there, whereas he's more just a normie, for lack of a better word. Just wants to, like, relax and put his feet up and, you know, do some bird watching or
and whatever. Neither of them pays attention to their daughter.
Mm. No.
I'll give the summary. She is an artist, and I'm using quotations, and needed funding.
Can you say this more like it's a Rob Schneider movie?
Yeah, Rob Schneider. Yeah.
She was an artist and needed someone to fund her. He was a man about town and needed a girl that gave a sick beach. The end.
Winona Ryder was there too.
Winona Ryder came later and caused a strain on the whole
too relationship. Too bad they had a kid that they actually had to feed once in a while.
Well, no, see, the kid is Charles, but not Delia's, because stepmom. She does point that out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When Lydia first meets the Adam and Barbara.
She does call her stepmother.
They're like, something about your mother. And she's like, stepmother.
Oh.
You know, I've never noticed that before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why do you think she's so goth, bro? Hurting so.
That adds credence to Rob's He Needed a Beach.
The reason she's goth is because her parents have money and she has nothing else to do with herself but be a mopey.
In Connecticut. Yeah, mopey, and she's literally diarrhea. In the middle of nowhere
for a quaint town in Connecticut.
Yeah. A mopey, drippy diarrhea.
Which, while I would love to live in that town, like as a teenager, I would hate to live
in
that
as a teenager, like I was Lydia as a teenager. Yeah. Like, but on the other side of it. It's not.
It is a hot topic, so let's move on.
It is not story time with Rob right now, Brian. Sick beach.
So, Rob is leaving now. On that note,
I'm out.
Rob's contribution to this podcast is over.
Is he going to get us a speech?
You never know.
Oh my God, I hope so. Are you volunteering?
No.
No, sir.
So, right. Why does Otho come in through the window, first off?
Because it's bad luck.
Bad luck.
Yeah.
To come through the window?
No,
to come through the front door. Oh. Now, why he doesn't use the back door, I couldn't tell you. Hold on. Let's see if we can get him back.
He does that for everything else.
I didn't even get it out yet. I was just going to say we could summon Rob back.
I was about to say Rob eat a Dorito, but he wasn't here, so I didn't say it.
Anyway.
Well, I was just going to say, if we say Margarita Rob three times...
Oh, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Margarita Rob. Margarita Rob. No? Okay. No. Anyway.
So, like, they're trying to scare him out of the house, and it's not working. And what's-his-face, Adam, he's in the book, I realized you can if you make a door...
It's not that time yet.
Oh, it's not?
No. This is when he's headless. And he runs up and locks the attic without a head. Well, and there's a really, really bad puppet from that one scene when he comes back for his head.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. During the trying to scare them part, yeah.
Yeah. The headless head, or the head of the headless body, whatever, is pretty sad for a moment there. But
it works.
It's not on the screen very long, yeah. So whatever.
It's funny. Like this.
Yeah.
Like, you're supposed to be catch the humor in these things and not be like, oh, like, you know, that's some guy with shoulders up over his head, like, you know.
And that's the charm of these effects.
Yeah. Again, I love it because, like, they do a good job of trying to make that his body look gross. Like, you can see the spine coming out. There's blood everywhere and stuff. But then it just wackily gets up and runs up the stairs and, like, shit, this is a messed up movie.
I think what helps is, like, what they're doing with these things. There's a lot of imagination, and I'm like, that was a crazy idea. I didn't really focus so much on that was not a good puppet.
But yeah, this also gets into, we'll get into this more as we go on, but, like, these were some sick people. Just immediately jumped to, I know, I'm going to hang myself in the closet and rip my face off. Oh, that didn't work? How about we pretend I cut your head off and I'm just standing there like a ghoul holding the knife? Mm-hmm. Like the end of Sleepaway Camp or some shit. Like, what is wrong with this lady?
Now, if it was the Sleepaway Camp pose, if Lydia saw that, that would be it.
Lydia would have hung herself.
Yeah. So now Barbara's like, I can't deal with this, and runs outside the house. And this is where we get the first full glimpse of the sandworm.
Yes.
Yeah. It gets worse and worse as I get older. But, like, my brain still processes how I first saw it, so it's okay. But if you're, like, first time watch this movie now, you're going to be like, what the fuck is that?
It's an Argyle sock with DSLs.
See, I don't know. Like, for me, this is one where, like, it never, like, there was never, like, a thing in my brain that was like, that looks real. Oh, but no. I was like, this looks awesome. I mean, I like this.
Well, it appears to be striped and black and white. So, Tim Burton then, apparently.
Well, it's more than one snake here, essentially. You got the main snake that opens its mouth and a little snake comes out of it.
Yeah.
Doesn't that little snake have a little snake coming out of it?
No, he's just got a long tongue.
Okay.
And it tries to eat Barbara, and she's gangster. Hits that shit right in the nose, and it's like, fuck, ow.
Yeah.
It's like, no one's just done that before.
Again, that will come back later in the movie. Yeah.
All right, so now, basically, the Dietzes are in. Like, they're stuck with them. And this is when they see Adam and Barbara see on the TV a commercial for a bioexorcist.
Yes.
Named Beetlejuice, spelt like the star.
So it's like the opposite of a Ghostbuster, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's an anti-Ghostbuster.
There's ghosts who bust people.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael Keaton cannot twirl a lasso or save his leg.
No, he cannot. But it works.
I'll take that back. Beetlejuice cannot twirl the lasso. Maybe Michael Keaton can.
This whole thing is set up like one of those bad commercials for like used car dealers or whatever. So the dumber, the better. And just the fact that he's, you know, a cowboy riding on a fake cow, like, it works.
So you got to wonder, like, when you look at the scene, you can pretty much tell that it's just all ad-libbed. Like, Michael Keaton is just going for it in this scene. So I wonder, like, was it set up that it was going to be a cowboy scenario? Or did he just, like, find that stuff in wardrobe and was like, I'm wearing this, I'm going to be a cowboy?
No, I think that was set up.
I think they were like, cowboy, and we got a model cow, and they just put him up on there, like, just do something.
That's fair. And, like, he...
Which is really how a lot of those used car commercials just go.
That's true.
I mean, Jones Barbecue and Foot Massage.
Jones Barbecue and Foot Massage! Jones Barbecue and Foot Massage! In fairness, the name of that business is with you. You know, like...
Get some extra napkins, because you're going to cook!
I was thinking more, and maybe this doesn't work as well, because I can't remember it, although I do have a shit memory, but, like, that original meme, like, back actually before there were memes, somebody had that at, like, a truck dealership, where it's just like, here's some shit, and here's a shitty car, and fuck you!
Oh,
and
Big Bill Hells.
Yeah, Big Bill Hells. Like, that's what we're going for.
Home of challenge pissing.
Yeah.
If you could piss six feet in the air and not get wet, you had no money down.
Yeah, that's what Beetlejuice is doing here. He's doing one of those.
By the way, my wife baked the hell out of some brownies.
Yeah, those are some good brownies.
Those were real good.
Damn. Yeah, you are setting us up tonight.
Big Bill Hells had me just the first part of that commercial, right when it starts, you just see like a shitty car and it just goes, fuck you, Baltimore. It just goes into the commercial. Oh, that was the best. Okay, anyway, so now that they come back and they're whatchamacallit. Now they're like, all right, while you were gone, I read in this spirit guide, in case of emergency, draw a door.
And a door he draws.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
Yep.
So it opens up and like they're in this other world.
It's a pretty cool, I mean it's not the greatest morph animation in the world, but the design of the door is pretty cool.
Yeah, it just seems like... It feels like one of the ways you get into Neverland or something.
Mm-hmm. I mean, just be a kid and die. That's how you get into Neverland. Oh, sorry.
Not bad. Wow.
Yeah, and then, whatchamacallit. Yeah, they're in just basically a waiting room for the afterlife. Where apparently, if you kill yourself, your punishment is civil service in the afterlife.
Yep.
And, like, you appear how you died. So they were lucky that they drowned. Because they look normal still. Whereas everyone else, oh, man.
That was another one. Originally, the idea was to have them be wet the entire movie. But they were like, that'd just be too uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So I think that's why the first scene is like, oh, there's just a fire here for some reason. Like, let's dry off.
I would have had them wake up wet every day and have to dry themselves off.
That would have been.
What about like autoerotic asphyxiation? You just got a boner the whole time?
Probably, yeah.
Like a belt David around Kennedy. Your neck?
If he showed up, that's what he'd be.
You got a belt around your neck and your hand on your pants.
That's
how I wake up every morning.
All right, so the dude with the chicken bone, like, are we to assume he just swallowed the whole like drumstick?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's going that hard on the chicken wings.
Maybe he fell on it, you know?
Could be.
Yeah, Flintstone style, man.
He was eating and running and fell. Like, oh.
He wasn't eating and running.
the chair gave out.
But yeah, we got a surfer who was in the middle of a shark attack.
Need some more respect for the forefathers of Fat Chad, okay? They died.
I
don't
want to know. That shark die with him, or is
Louis
that
Louis Anderson,
just,
John Candy?
Well, the shark choked on him.
Wait, Louis Anderson's still alive.
Oh,
right?
Sorry.
It was like Robin Hood Men in Tights.
I mean,
like,
physically, not
what
emotionally.
What happened to my goldfish? Well, the cat ate it. And what happened to the cat? Oh, choked on the goldfish.
Yeah.
We find out from Miss Argentina, who's working the front desk here, that they get 3 help vouchers for their 125-year stay in their house that they need to get through, I guess, before they move on to the next world.
Happens after 125 years?
You got to read the book.
Yeah, I guess
I
so.
Read that book.
Yeah,
and they didn't read it at all. just skimmed it. Nope.
Well, yeah, she even mocks them for it. She's like, I bet you didn't even read the book all the way.
Yeah,
like,
well, I mean, Alec Baldwin just carved out enough of a spot where he could put a flask in it.
He might as well have, because, yeah, like, I mean, it's hard to hate the movie for this, because it is a running joke, but it is, like, this is the most important thing to your existence
they're so neglectful.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That they treat this book like the Deets treat their kid. Yeah. Like, it's just like, fuck it. I know it's really important.
Yeah. I don't want to figure it
out. We'll go to jail if something happens to it, but fuck it. Just leave it in the corner.
They didn't even bring it with them when they went through the door.
No.
Yeah, they keep getting mocked for this stuff. Like, you didn't read the book. And, like, oh, bring your book with you. And, like, we didn't bring. And everybody's like, what? These like, jokers.
You are dead and you cannot leave the premises of your home. What else do you have to do but read this book?
Yeah. What other crazy things are going to happen?
Yeah. Like,
look, you're a ghost. It's a ghost book. I know it's kind of big, but it might fit in your pocket. You might be able to put it in your stomach. Figure something out. Keep it with you.
Now, do you think Gray has a copy of this in his occult bookstore?
Yes.
Okay.
I think he got it after he got a beach from that one ghost. And
he probably just found it at the Maitland's house. He must have left it there. He was like, oh.
I do like...
I'm going to make a copy of this.
While they're walking around kind of in the bureaucratic nightmare that is the afterlife there, where it's just like skeletons filling out piles of paper, there's that one guy that was run over by a truck, and he's just flat. And he's got a slot in the wall that he lives in. I always thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm like, how long have you been there for them to build the building around you?
I guess it's just a regular enough of an occurrence. So you see the Room of Lost Souls, where it's like death for the dead. Yeah. I guess souls that were exorcised.
It's just a green screen.
It's just the ghost. It's just the trap room for the Ghostbusters.
Basically, yeah.
It's a containment unit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just seems to be a empty void with a bunch of souls whipping around in it.
Mm-hmm.
And they look all gross and shriveled.
Yeah, so now they basically walk through the next door and they're back in their house, except it's been changed around quite a bit. It's
been 3 months later.
Yeah. What's funny is, like, this was made to look, like, awful in the 80s, but it's, like, a lot of people's houses just look like this now.
Yeah. And it's awful.
Yeah, it is still awful.
Yeah, some of this is pretty terrible.
But, what you call it? So this is where they meet Juno, their caseworker.
Yeah.
And
she's 16 and pregnant. It's weird.
Yeah, she's about as much help as, like,
she got a hamburger phone, Rob.
Yeah, Charles S. Dutton's character in Alien 3. Where it's like, hey, can you tell me this? Fuck you! Basically, like, what? She's like, no. Just figure it out on your own.
Yeah, she literally is just like, handle your shit, bitch.
Yeah, you don't like him, scare him out of the house.
Yeah. Well, she's like, read the book.
Yeah.
We put it all in a fucking book for you. Fucking read the book.
Yeah.
Which, my only problem with that is, like, we get 3 help vouchers, and your help is read the book. Fuck you, do something. Yeah. I only get 3 of these.
That's the help you need. The help you need is to realize the book answers most of your fucking questions. Fucking read the book.
No, I don't care. No, this is, I'm paying good money for the Geek Squad or whatever, so I don't care if I just got peanut butter in my disk drive. Your ass is cleaning it out.
The real help she gives him during this time is she says, don't summon Beetlejuice. It's a problem.
Yeah.
Don't fucking do it.
Well, I mean, she could have just been like, all right, I got an idea. All right, whenever one of them sits down on the toilet, just teabag him.
Yeah, or just be like, you know all that shit you were doing? This is how you, like, become corporeal so they can see it.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
It's probably in the book.
Or actually, it would be great if her advice was just like, yeah, you know how you can touch things? Hit them! Like, look, what the fuck?
Or just, if in the book, it tells you how to resurrect the dead.
Thank you, Brian.
It tells them how to fucking...
Oh, I know it does. But that's, again, I'm just saying, like, this is, you bought the iPhone. We gave you the instruction manual. It tells you how to do everything, but you're like some elderly person.
It tells you where you can buy the earbuds.
Yeah. Well, whatever. The point is, if I'm paying good money and I only get 3 times where you'll help me, you help on whatever the hell I ask. I don't care.
You're not paying.
Is the thing. She's got all these people with actual problems.
Seriously, though, it's not that hard to figure out. Just whenever they go to use the bathroom, just do something terrible to them. You can't use the bathroom in your own house. You're going to leave. See, that's it.
Yeah, like you're getting...
Well, that's what I was like. Every time you get to the top of the stairs, you are back down the bottom.
No, because you don't want to kill them. Because now they're stuck in the house with you. Right.
Yeah,
for 125 years.
You're defending the Maitlands when they are the customers you hate. The ones that The information is there. They just choose to ignore it. No,
but that's what I get. They're shitty customers, but I have to wait on those shitty customers all the time with a smile on my face.
But what you get to do?
That's the thing. Afterlife, you don't.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not really getting fired from the afterlife. Yeah.
I guess it's a good point. Like, what are you going to do? What am I going to worry about? Going to hell? Fuck you.
Yeah, this is where I am.
It's probably better than here.
Oh, yeah. You're going to send me to Saturn? Yeah. That's not even a real thing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
go
a real
fuck
thing.
A sandworm.
That's a real thing.
All right. So, yeah, basically she's like, look, just don't call Beetlejuice. He used to be my partner. He got in some trouble.
Interesting side note there. That means he killed himself.
Mm. True.
That well, means... I don't think they all killed themselves because her neck is her throat is slit. So
she could have done that.
I mean, yeah,
that's pretty hardcore.
That's a rough way to go, but that's she could have done that.
Yeah,
that's a lot to.
Yeah, but they did. I mean, admittedly, again, it's what you want to believe. But Otho says if you commit suicide, you become a civil servant, and all the civil servants we see seem to have killed themselves.
Well, that one guy was run over.
What could have jumped in front of a bus?
Unintentionally killed yourself. Like, say she was, like, I don't know, like, looking at something and... I can't think of how she would have.
So like you're playing Red Dead 2, like, right?
But like
you're in Valentine, you're trying to greet somebody, but you hit the wrong button and you shoot someone in the face.
Yeah,
you've essentially killed yourself.
But like, not like the same. The idiot that like tipped the soda machine over trying to get a free Pepsi.
I think that's an accidental death. That's different.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, maybe if you're like shaking it, trying to get that Pepsi, and you pull it on yourself, that's debatable.
Like cutting your own throat is.
I mean, it's hardcore.
Yeah, I guess you didn't want to die, but you deserved
it. I'm just saying, like...
Darwin Awards.
As far as these rules go, that implies that she did that herself.
Well, it wasn't a rule. Otho was telling a joke.
Yes.
He hadn't seen the book
But yet. Again, we see the receptionist who cut her wrists. We see a guy who hung himself.
It could also be like squares and triangles. Every square, or not squares and triangles, squares and rectangles. Every square is a rectangle, but not every rectangle is a square.
Yeah, that's fair. Mm-hmm. Again, it's kind of what you want to follow, what you want to believe here. But
I don't believe Tim Burton put that much thought into it, to be honest.
But, I bet he did. There seems to be a lot of stuff with it. Like the thing with threes comes up a lot and stuff.
Man, maybe.
There's something to it.
All right. Guys, we have more important things to talk about. A little fat chat update. Beetlejuice can produce Zag Nut bars.
at
will.
I was like, do they still make those?
They do. Yeah, well, I could produce Zag Nut bars too, because they're shit.
Yeah.
Now, Zag Nuts were peanuts and nougat? Was
it? Let's Google it.
I looked it up while we were watching the movie.
I think much like the Charleston Chew, they had a very unacceptable texture
gross.
To them. Like, it wasn't even so much the flavor as like, I don't want this in my mouth.
So, story time with Rob.
Uh-oh.
And I guess Tony. Our dad used to work for a company that produced Charleston Chews. So, we used to have like a freezer full of Charleston Chew all the time.
Word.
And they're gross.
I liked them as a kid.
As a kid, like...
I mean, I don't hate them now. Like, they're just not like, my first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth,
three, fourth. Like, the first 300 or 400, we were like, oh, we get free candy. And then you're like... God, this thing is like, it's ruining my teeth.
Yeah. You have to put it in the fridge, but not too long, because once it gets, it's solid. Hurts.
I was going to say, there's a key point to Rob's story there, which was we had a freezer full of them, so you had to wait hours for that thing to fucking fall.
Oh, absolutely not.
Or you're breaking your jar.
Holy crap. No, thank you. Hold on. There was a description. Oh, here we go. Come on, dude.
Great radio.
So it's, pretty much. So Zag Nut Bar, it's peanut brittle with cocoa and toasted coconut.
Oh, fuck that.
Yeah.
Get that garbage out of my face. Like, you know what?
Sweet Lord, no.
I'm surprised even that fly wanted it.
No, because it's poop.
Like,
might as well just held up a poop.
Because it is excrement. You've held up excrement to me.
So the fly, like, they had this weird puppet fly they made for the scene. And as a kid, it weirded me out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's like, help me! Once Beetlejuice grabs it.
Well, that's a reference to the fly.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's the exact lines that the fly says. But that puppet fly did freak me out. Like, it's still, even today, I'm like, did they just kill the... Like, is that a taxidermied fly?
It's not creepy. Even close.
Now I can tell better. But I mean, like, they put a lot of work into that thing.
Anyway. So, Yeah, at this point, you see Charles Dietz, he's trying to get this guy, Max, to invest in this town. He's got his business proposal he's working on, which is going to come into play later for why the Dietzes are doing what they're doing. And you just get a cool Robert Goulet cameo.
Goulet.
All right, so then, yeah, now Adam and Barbara are like, all right, I got a plan. We'll just cut some holes in some sheets. And be classic ghosts.
Or Klansmen.
Yeah, or Klansmen.
I don't understand so much of that. We are working backwards here.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, okay, we did some scary shit, but they couldn't see us, so let's put sheets on us. They're still not going to see you rip your face off. Like,
I can see sheets.
Yeah, but that's not scary. It's not even a white, tattered sheet. It is, as they point out, designer sheets.
For some people, it is very scary.
Well, all right, the moment, because I would have gone over and pulled the sheet.
Oh, damn it, Brian. Yeah.
Well, to be fair, Brian.
Took me a second to realize where that was going.
If they don't have pointed hoods.
If they were all wearing designer sheets, would have been less scary.
Mm. Yeah. If. No. All
right. Listen, you know what? It's time. It's time to break down the barriers and have these real talks.
Or eat Doritos.
About ghost
or eat Doritos. Thank you, Brian. Very good.
Whoever's good. Under it. It might be undercut a little if you have dinosaur sheets on, all right? That's what I'm saying.
Good.
Or racing cars. If you got tow Mater in between some cut holes.
Dude, if you see a sheet coming at you with Mater on it, you run.
Run, yeah.
You run as fast as you
That's
can.
That's a wrap.
Again, like I was saying, like why they can physically touch objects and make them do things. So why not fucking hit them with stuff?
Yeah, just
throw shit around the house, slam doors, rattle windows, whatever.
Break those stupid sculptures everywhere.
Yeah.
But they can be heard because when they're going, ooh, and Lydia's like, yo, stop having sex.
Well, Lydia can also Lydia's see different. Them.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
So Lydia may be the only one that can see and hear them.
She is.
And she thinks
she's weird and unusual.
She thinks her parents are banging.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. They try and scare Delia, and like she thinks it's the TV or whatever, and wakes up, you know, she's asleep on the couch, wakes up to try to turn it off because they're making noise. Like, lift that couch up and drop her ass on the floor.
As Lydia says, she's sleeping with Prince Valium.
Yeah,
she's not waking up for nothing.
Charles, then, whatever. Somebody will get that message. Wait till she wakes up. Do it then. Whatever. The point is. Fuck with stuff around the house.
I mean, Charles spends all his time in the study, which is full of books and shit like that. Yeah. Prime time to be throwing books around the room. Like, it's like, that's ghosting 101, right?
Yeah.
Like,
all right. I'm only speaking for myself, but I'll tell you, you know how far I made it into the movie Poltergeist before I was like, nope, I'd be done?
Bedroom?
No, before any of that. Just the scene with the chairs.
Okay.
Just when she, like, the family left, she pushed in all the chairs. Turned around, all the chairs are on top of the table. That is a wrap on living in that house.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
No, it's over. You're right there. Right. That's all you got to do.
I haven't seen the movie in so long, but yeah, you're 1,000% right.
Hell, you want to kill two birds with one stone? She's sleeping with Prince Valium, you said? She wakes up in the morning, all your friggin' wallpaper's back up and shit. Yeah. That will fuck with her.
I mean,
that might be enough.
Yeah, if the wallpaper was in the house, but something. You could.
Yeah, whatever. Call her different.
Yeah.
Break her friggin' precious statues. Point it. You can make things
make them
happen.
All fucking.
So, speaking of Poltergeist,
you can make those fuck, but sure.
In Poltergeist, you know that weird porcelain clown?
Yep.
Doll, like, so my sister had one of those. It was black and white.
No.
And like, it was like, because now she's way old. She's 15 years older than I am. Yeah. So I'm a little kid. And like, she had it in her, like, her room, whatever. Mm. And it would just. Fucking sit and look at me, and I couldn't go in the room because of that fucking doll.
Yeah,
and I never even seen Poltergeist at that point. Just the doll's fucking creepy as fuck.
Oh yeah.
Then I saw the movie. I was like, ah!
Yeah, I think there was a comedian that was talking about that as well, where like, because that was a real doll you could just buy.
Yeah.
And he had one. It just like after he saw that movie, he's like, I need to throw this away.
It's creepy as fuck. Yeah. Anyway,
like, speaking of real dolls, you can just buy. I don't know. I was gonna make a Jeffrey Jones joke there, but I'm not gonna.
All right, so
looks like a young Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, this ghost sheet rampage here ends when basically Lydia thinks it's her parents, takes some pictures of them. in the middle of some kinky sex act.
Also, why would you do that?
Because she takes pictures of everything.
But why? She wants something to show the cops.
Yeah. Pretty much. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, and then she's like, hold on, you guys don't have feet. Yeah. And then they're like, whoa, you could hear us? And then basically they just have a conversation. And
they become friends.
You don't have feet.
Lydia's like, I read your book that you're supposed to read.
Leave it around, people to find. Which again,
why is it a real book?
Yeah, like, I kept saying they were watching. I'm like, why is that real? But they can't be seen. Like, why? Why make physical like actual book?
Like,
I don't get
it. Yeah, there's a lot of questions about that. I think that's kind of a, you know, at what point is it no longer after midnight to feed the gremlins? You just gotta let it go.
It's midnight somewhere. You know?
There should be like a real fine or something if you lose or you know. Give that book to people.
Well, I kind of get their asses reamed out for
yeah, but I mean, there's like real consequences. Like,
you don't have a head for 5 years.
Or, yeah, or like, we don't help you anymore. Like, you are not allowed in this office.
You're one of the 13 ghosts for like a decade or so.
Shitty movie.
For Tony Shalhoub.
You got to deal with Tony Shalhoub.
Wait, he was the... I forgot.
He's the main protagonist in that movie.
What's the girl's...
Shannon Elizabeth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that. Okay. We saw that in theaters, didn't we?
We did.
Oh, my God. Oh. Hey, guys.
You shit your pants, Joe?
Oh, I tried to.
So, how about buying some merch and then you can sponsor an episode like 13 Ghosts?
Yeah. Don't do that. Like, I mean, if y'all are fans and stuff, don't put us through pain when you sponsor an episode. Like, you know, enjoy with us. Laugh with us.
But they probably laugh more at our pain than...
Ladybugs.
Probably not enough to incite people, but
destroyed the podcast almost. So, William.
I do have a story about of dolls related to Chucky, if we ever get to that. But anyway, don't you worry about that.
If we ever get to that.
Well, we had a vote, and it was voted.
Yeah,
that's but right. Apparently, Ernest Scared Stupid was more important than that.
If someone wanted to sponsor it.
Yeah, fair enough.
Anyway. I'm jumping on a grenade.
All right, so...
Not Child's Play 3.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Basically, they're like, all right, Lydia's pretty cool. She can see us. She could be like a daughter we didn't have.
Which, why do we jump to that?
Hmm?
What?
We're just like, we're cool. We're having a conversation with Lydia. Like, when you... She's like, oh, are you gross under there? When you take that sheet off, take your face off. Mm-hmm. Well, you're trying to scare them. This is the
because
time.
It's a little girl, basically. And
they're not horrible people.
Yeah, they're not horrible.
You're
they're
trying to scare people out of your house.
Yeah, but they're not really. They're just like country bumpkins. Not really, but like they're like simple country.
And they've seen the whole dynamic. Lydia has no control over her being there.
It's just this little innocent.
And Winona Ryder has that perfect, like, I'm too adorable to mess with kind of demeanor. Like, remember when she stole all that shit and she was on trial and they were just like, oh, she's too cute.
Is that what happened?
Basically, that's like
kind of what happened.
All right.
If she were younger, it wouldn't have even been a trial.
Yeah. She would have been a minor, and they would just.
Oh,
yeah. They were like, oh, let's give her some more stuff to steal.
Who's dinging?
That was me.
Oh, okay. All right. So I obviously know who the professionals are at this table.
Yeah, none of us.
Yeah. That's true.
Diabetes with his Brian. Tom Selleck mustache.
The mustache is still there.
I've changed it. It's a Goulet mustache.
Oh, Goulet mustache.
Yeah, the mustache. It's his mustache now.
Yeah. Why would he shave, Brian? It's no shave November or whatever. Yeah,
right. All right, so let's move this along.
All right,
so they're like, I don't know if we want to mess with Lydia. Meanwhile, it cuts ahead, and there's this weird machine tilling the yard outside the house. I'm like, what the fuck
you noticed
is
that too,
thing?
Huh? You know, like, it's a Tim Burton machine.
Yeah, we discussed this. It's a Burton.
It's designed to throw dirt at itself.
Yep. Yeah, it's it's just like okay. Little claws. Just digging at the yard.
Like, ever watched a crab or lobster eat?
Yeah,
right. Like, it's front claws. They like, do scoop it towards his face. That's what it's doing.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
Oh my god! Is that what happened to the spider? It became a machine.
Oh, it may have. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So,
it's an
Lydia's basically showing Delia the pictures of the ghost. Delia's like, I don't got time for that crap. And then, meanwhile,
she's trying to help the ghost at this point.
Yeah,
because she was trying to show her mom to be like, "Oh, this house is haunted. We should get out."
Yeah, but she's like, "No, we gotta have a dinner party tonight with my agent. So meanwhile, Barbara and Adam are like, all right, let's see this Beetlejuice guy. Let's see what he can do. None of that thing they told us not to do. Let's do it.
Why not? What could possibly go wrong?
So they see. Well,
they also, at this point, they're aware he is in their model.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually see he's even got flashing lights. So they're like, all right, let's go check it out.
One thing I don't understand. Right. So he's able to make this TV video, you know, do all this kind of shit, whatever. But when they summon him, when they say his name three times, they figure out how to say it, whatever. They get teleport into the model. They have to dig him up.
Oh, he's just being a jerk.
Yeah, he's
he wants to make
it's
cool
a show.
Entrance.
Yeah,
right.
It's just a show.
All right. Becca pointed out a fun little inconsistency here when they're digging through like the cardboard and
the fragile.
Table. Yeah, it's fragile, like, why is that little tiny piece of cardboard say fragile on it in tiny letters?
Yeah, that's a bit of a thing, but
Tony pointed out watching it. He's like, sometimes those people who are into models are really into models.
Really
into models.
But I do like the added touch of we're not digging into ground at all. This is just, it's the foam grass. Mm-hmm. It's the cardboard ground, cardboard underneath.
Which at one point I'm like, why don't I just pick it up?
Or not cardboard.
It is just little pieces that you could just lift up.
Just pick it up. Like
it might have been too big for them, actually.
It's like little cork board.
Cork board, that's what
slots.
So Beetlejuice, they reach the coffin. He bursts out of that, and he's just going nuts. He's just laying I don't even want to say their moves on Barbara. He's just laying the sexual harassment.
He is like almost penetrating at this.
He tries.
He's like
Harvey Weinstein all over this place.
Like a Trump. Between a Trump and a Weinstein kind of level of sexual harassment.
He does try to just grab her by the...
He does.
He straight up does. He's like looking up the end of her dress with a stick.
He grabs her and just kisses her because, you know, because he's Beetlejuice famous. And then
straight up asks Adam, like, you know, how solid's your relationship? Do I got a shot at her?
Yeah. Well, like, and I remember, I'm not sure at what point, like what age I watched it where I started catching on to these things, but I do remember at one point watching this and being like, oh, he just grabbed her and he kissed her, like that's, you know, he's a wacky guy, and like, oh, and then he makes that joke about like, let's kiss and make up, and tries to kiss her again, like, oh, that's funny. And then I was like, oh, now he's like looking up her skirt and trying to, all right, this is uncomfortable.
Tries to grab her vagina, like, legitimately. He tries.
She's got a big teeth. She do a lot of tooth action.
I wonder, was that all ad lib? I wonder.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Gonna get bitten during a beach.
Yeah. His head's spinning around. He's making dick tentacles pop out of his head.
Dick tentacles.
They ask if he can be scary. He's like, how about
we
this?
We haven't seen since Trantor. That is dick ears.
Beetlejuice could also produce the dick ears.
Yeah, for sure.
And they're basically the. Like calling Eric over to hang out, immediately you're just like, I regret this decision.
It's vaguely gross. You're invading my personal space.
I'm like calling Eric to hang out. You can't just say his name three times and he'll leave.
No.
I don't know. Have we tried?
I've tried.
Okay.
You gotta say the right one, but he's got like 10 names, so.
He does.
Yeah.
I only know him by Brick, so. Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
He's a brick and I'm drowning slowly.
Yeah, they like doing an interview on him, like, what can you do? Like, how can you help us? And he's just being terrible.
Well, immediately I think he starts going to, like, you know, who do you need me to kill? And they're like, whoa, we don't want you to kill anybody.
All right, I'll possess somebody.
Yeah.
Demon, I get your demon. What do you need? Like, so she's like, you know what? Let's go home. Home. And it works. Like,
yeah, and that... never comes up again.
Ever.
At all.
My favorite scene when I was a little kid, though. Beetlejuice, he's just like, hey, whoa, where'd you go? And he sees him and he's yelling at him. And he just fucking karate kicks a tree over. He's like, nice fucking model. Just grabs his crotch. Like, burr, burr.
I do believe that was ad-libbed. Because I think he kicked the tree and that was not meant to fall over. And it just was like, fuck.
All right, so... yeah, that's Beetlejuice. So now they're like, all right, we'll just haunt this ourselves. We'll just go haunt this awkward dinner party with like her agent's wife, Otho, and
Some lady.
Yeah.
Yeah, what was this lady?
No idea.
Friend?
This is someone that Otho just hates. They're talking about like suicide attempts.
Yeah, probably his best friend.
Yeah.
Like,
it could be.
They just, you know, it's one of those relations.
It's how he expresses his love.
Yeah. Pretty much how we express our love to each other. We just
Otho's like
trying to get each other to kill ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of sort of that.
Otho's like, yeah, I know about the supernatural, you know, because if you're giving me money for it, yeah, I know about the supernatural.
Sure.
Yeah, he is one of those guys just like, I have the answers to everything.
Scripted. Yeah.
Scripted. Yeah.
Yep.
Because you don't know better to call me out on this shit.
He's got some J.O. crystals fully charged in his car.
He sure does.
So then it gets to a point where Delia is about to say something important. Instead, she just lets out some Deo.
Deo. Deo.
Daylight come, let me want to go home.
And, like, this scene is done so well. Like,
it
just
really is.
The song comes on, and they look both, like, frightened, and, like, they're got the herky-jerky movement, like, they're not fully in control of their faculties.
Catherine O'Hara in
she was feeling
like,
it
crazy good in this scene. Like, she does not crack a smile. She looks, like, legit, like, what the hell is going on, but at the same time, her body is fully committed to what's going on.
And it's this crazy combination of scary and fun.
And it's straight up like a work party.
Getting a little tipsy, putting your ass in the air and singing Deo.
Pretty much, yes,
you have no idea.
It is exactly correct.
Okay. I will say,
tally me, banana.
If I were them, I might be on board with this being a fun thing. Until that shrimp hand.
Yeah, the shrimp hands is a deal breaker.
Yeah.
Grab my face. Well, honestly, if shrimp hands, like in 1988, if shrimp, well, 1988.
No, I get that from my wife all the time, though. Yeah. Shrimp hands is just a deal breaker.
I will leave it alone. I'm not going to touch that one.
That's all right. I'll put the pillow and the blanket on the couch.
Shrimp hands would gross me out. But if those were like vegetable hands, I'd fucking eat that thing right there.
No. Back this up. Back this up. It's not about the shrimp and it's not about being gross. That thing that was several other dead carcasses of animals form together to make a living hand that reach out of the cup, which should not have room for an arm.
Yeah, but it came straight at my mouth, though.
Okay.
We all know Joe puts things in his mouth regardless.
That is true. Joe's on his own here. Because if
you come at me like that, I'm biting you. It doesn't matter what it is.
If those were chalupa hands coming at me, I'd be like, nope, that's okay.
Oh, if that was a giant burrito, oh.
Bean and cheese burrito coming at you?
That'd be great.
All right, well, let me try this another way. If you have this coming at your face and you want to fight off by eating it, fine. But afterwards, how do you settle with the fact that your house has a cup that produces some kind of vegetable, burrito, monster, whatever the hell's in there?
I'm like, sucks to be you, cup.
All right.
Come at me, bro.
You'd be sitting there for hours like, come on.
Make the walls bleed again.
Yeah, you pick the wrong house to haunt.
Why do you want to kill me?
More blood in this pool. Make it work. Thousands of years ago. Sorry.
I hate that man. He wants blood all the time. He never wears a shirt.
I'm now just picturing Joe on the couch just sucking on the cup till he gets those Caitlyn Jenner lips.
Just happen again. One more time.
I bet you want to do that again. Fart right in it.
No, you better watch that because something might shoot out right in your ass. So you know.
Do you want to eat it after that?
That'll do that thing's last move.
Throw hands in your ass, Joe.
Blast that sucker across the room.
But don't
mess with my digestive tract.
So now all of a sudden the family believes Lydia that the house is haunted. And they want to turn it into into an amusement thing. To the point where they ask Lydia to go ask them to come downstairs.
They had a great time with this.
They're like, that was amazing. The shrimp tried to kill us.
It really is like a, do they actually understand what's happening? Or
no, they don't. No, it's they can't.
It's that way rich white people understand things. Like,
thank you for saying it because I didn't want to.
Yeah. I only understand and accept this as far as it benefits me. And that's it.
That is it exactly.
And to be fair, aside from the shrimp hands, which did throw them back or whatever. This is the most fun they've had at one of these dinner parties in ages.
I like how they're... All right, so basically Lydia comes down. She's like, yeah, they don't want to see you because, you know...
They're not fucking, a dancing monkey.
You're fucking weird that you weren't scared by that. And so her agent's just like, oh, you're a flake, you're a hack. Like, how do you fucking fake, like, the giant shrimp hand coming out of the cup?
Yeah,
or the fact that you just got possessed?
Well, he was saying
she was a flake as far as her sculptures go.
Well,
I don't know, but
he's like, all right, well, they're not going to come down. Fuck you, we're done. Like,
that's what I don't get. It's not that he doesn't believe this happened or that this place is haunted. It's more like, you just suck, and I'm clearly not getting any money out of you, even though you showed me the one thing that could potentially
get some
money.
There's no way this financially benefits me.
I'm out. So they leave.
All right. So, but still, the Dietzes are like, we got to get in that attic. We got to see these people.
I'm going to get up in that attic.
Mm. Catherine O'Hara is not to be messed with.
Yep.
No, she says, I'm going to drag you out by the ropes you hung yourself with.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, wow.
That is a great way to get into the attic. Somehow it works, though. Like, they let him in.
Like, not on...
I think... I don't know if that was, like, they... Because they just were like, they're coming in. We can't stop this. Mm-hmm. We need to get away from this door. Or that was just they busted through there. I'm not sure what caused them to get in. But, yeah, they get in. They can't find the ghosts up there. Not even Lydia somehow doesn't see them hanging out the window, which is apparently their strategy.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, they leave behind the book.
Right.
Which Otho's like, grab.
Yoink.
Yeah, it's one. Oh. You have one thing to look after.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they're so the Dietzes are like, whoa, this is a sweet model. Jeffrey Jones is, of course, like, I want to push this thing around, push the cars around and fuck with it.
I mean, it is a sweet model. All needs a train, too. Like,
it does need a train, though, yeah.
So then Beetlejuice is like, all right, I'm just going to spring into action here.
Yeah. Let me show you what I can do.
Yeah, give you a free sample. Maybe I'll get you to come back for more.
So he turns the railing of the stairs and, like, the whole upstairs into a snake.
John's house? Oh.
Yeah.
Sure. John's house is one floor, right?
Yeah.
Nah, well.
No, there's a stairway upstairs. Yeah. It doesn't have a banister because it turned into a snake.
Oh, okay.
I think John had to kill it.
Gotcha.
I don't know if he had to kill it, but he chose to.
He chose it. And he wears it like a hat.
Yeah.
So.
That's where his jacket came from.
This snake turns into the mom from.
Flight of the Navigator.
Damn you. Bro.
Oh my God. I'll never unsee it.
Sorry. When we watched the movie, I said it.
I forgot. You guys did say that.
Yeah.
Did you get it?
Sure enough, it is.
I got to look up the freaking actress name now.
Oh, I forgot her name. She was an alien as well.
I just remember she was the one in Alien that went like, God.
Shame her forever.
Yes, of course. I mean.
But anyway.
I think she was also in Invasion of the Body Snatchers or one of those movies.
Yeah.
I think so.
All right.
She's been a few things.
So this effect here, what do we think about this? Because this one I thought was actually still pretty good.
Yeah.
Like this one held up pretty well.
I mean, again, like, you know, I'm not fully buying this at all, you know.
Veronica Cartwright.
Okay. It's all part of the same thing, or like it's a little cartoonish at times, but it works well enough, and it's just awesome.
So he's causing a ruckus. He like knocks Otho down the stairs, and then just straight up drops Jeffrey Jones on his back.
Yeah,
from a 2-story drop.
Also looks up Catherine O'Hara's dress. Just
he's
a perv.
Yeah, that's what he does.
You know, carpets, drapes, you know.
You gotta be sure.
Barbara foils him by saying his name 3 times, and Lydia's just like, go away.
So how does she know the
wrong
rules?
Movie,
like, she hasn't read this book, so how does she know the rules?
Yeah,
so you say his name 3 times, he disappears, you say home 3 times, you go back home. How
she just seems to be winging it. She knew saying Beetlejuice brought him
she's
out.
She's doing a thing that manifests her will, and that's like the focus that...
I will accept this.
Yeah, she's using.
Yeah, because really, like, how'd they figure out how to do anything? Like,
yeah.
How'd she know she can tear her face off?
Because they didn't read the book.
How'd she know she can make
the... They have one book that explains everything, and they chose not to read it, so sure. All
right, so Beetlejuice, he's talking to him again back in the model. which he's crashed a model truck into a fire hydrant. And then, like, Barbara goes to grab him, and he turns all spiky. And then Juno distracts him with a Dante's Inferno room.
Yes.
The whorehouse has been installed in the model.
I mean, I'm not shocked because I knew this was not coming, as it were. But, like, the restraint to not have a horny joke right there.
Well, there was.
He did a horny dance.
He just didn't say it.
He could have, you know.
He probably did. And they were like, nah, yeah. Do it again.
Maybe. Well, but he said, like, this whole.
He said, I'm feeling a little frisky or whatever. You know what I mean? But yeah.
But he had the horn sticking out.
But so he didn't. It wasn't a straight up, like, I'm feeling horny. Or like her say, you know, you horny little. And then have him shoot him out. Or
have him shoot him out.
Either way, he does the horny equivalent of a pee-pee dance and dances his way into the whorehouse.
Oh, yeah. He sure does.
Yeah,
Juno summons them into her office, and there's just a football team in there, and she's yelling at them.
Their bus crashed.
Yeah, she's basically like, you let yourself get filmed. You, confirmed the existence of the dead. You did all these things that says in your book not to do.
And you lost the book.
Like, yeah. Here's what I don't get. Because literally, her office sees everything that they do is being seen. And I'm like, yo, like, if y'all see what's happening, fucking help them. Like,
yeah. Why, though?
So that they don't.
It's not their job.
So they don't mess up. If it's not their job, then why are they watching?
Because it's fun.
Okay. All right.
Why, do you watch the, I don't know. Name a reality TV show because I don't know any.
Jersey Shore?
Sure. Name Jersey. Like, think about Jersey Shore. Like,
why it's T-shirt watching? Time.
Sure, exactly. But, like, you can't do anything to
affect... Because Jim Tan Laundry.
Right, because you can't do anything to affect the situation, as it were.
Yo, situation... Yo, wow. So, they did a reunion kind of show.
Oh, God.
And they're in Vegas, Bryce, whatever.
Can I...
And this motherfucker, he listening? Should be on Fat Chat. Situation should be on Fat Chat. This dude is all about the buffets wherever he goes. He piles plates up. This dude should be on Fat Chat.
Those listening, Brian is way too excited about this.
Sorry.
He got all upright.
Like, my heart stopped watching what he was eating. Like,
Brian just got all animated, like, super upright. Like,
yeah, he came to life the first time for this podcast.
Sorry.
Just now. No, but here's the thing. If you don't want to help them, I get that.
GTBL, Jim Tan Buffet Laundry.
Okay. If you don't want to help them, I get that. But, like, when Lydia goes to take those pictures, mess with the camera.
Why?
Yeah.
Because now there's proof.
Yeah. Who cares?
They do. They say that.
Yeah, but what are they going to do? Like, oh, there's proof of the after. Okay, so?
Well, they say that's a problem. So if that's a problem for you, do something about it. When you see,
don't care that much.
Yeah, Otho takes the book. How about before he grabs the book magically disappears. He can't touch it anymore. Like, fucking do something.
That's...
Yeah. Make a book that can't be touched by someone who's not dead.
Yeah.
Like a book, you could only read it if you're dead, something like that.
That makes more sense, but I guess in this world, that's just not how the rules work.
So
She's like, I got a better idea. You guys are going to do some weird morph effects on yourself
to get scary looking. So this is the... I don't know. I don't even know what to call this. This is the... I don't know.
I used to love this. This was one of my favorites.
This was, like, one of my least favorites.
That explains us so much.
You talk about Tomo when he does the hand through his mouth?
Yeah.
So, again, I don't understand this part because, like, the only person who can see them
is girl. Lydia. So they choose to turn themselves... So, like, Alec Baldwin
turns himself
into a weird chicken monster, and Gina Davis turns into one of those... Ghostbuster toys that only, like, the super fans would buy.
Right. And you have three of them.
I do. Have one.
Sorry.
I've wanted Tony has it, I think.
Yeah. No, but this goes back to what I said before of, like, what the hell is wrong with these people? Because, like, she just is like, oh, you're going back to scare them. Show me, you know, let me see what you plan. And they just, like, oh, I know exactly what to do. Pull my eyes out so they go on my fingers, shove my hand through the back of my head, stretch my face out. And she's just like, oh, I'll just pop my eyes back into my head, stretch my mouth really wide, and the eyes come out of the mouth.
Like, obviously, they've been practicing. But the thing is, like...
What?
Lydia is still the only one that sees them.
Right.
Well, that's I don't know.
It doesn't matter. Which,
the first 20 times, I never realized the first 20 times I saw the movie, but then like, as I got a little older, I was like, oh, wait, yeah, how would they?
Why are they?
I can only hope that means that they've figured out how to make themselves be seen at this point. But who knows?
How about you just manifest to these people as people and just be like, hey, this is our house. Please stop messing with it. Like, even as terrible as these people are kind of set up to be, it's like once you're faced with that, it's like, I don't know. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Which, again, like, write them a letter.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. Like, hey, as my last will and testament, please don't mess with my house.
Yeah,
when Lydia and them came upstairs to the attic, like they were hiding outside the window. I'm like, but they can't see you, so why are you?
Yeah, I didn't get that one.
Yeah, like you're. Oh, I think
that was just
we're
dumb.
Jumping out the window. Why? Why nobody sees you?
You're
nobody
risking falling into Saturn for people that can't see you. I guess only so Lydia can't say they're there. Maybe.
Meanwhile, Lydia's like, I'm done with this world. I'm fed up with this world.
Yeah, she really does. A freaking
I'm all alone.
Hi, guys.
I'm utterly alone.
Luckily, the fact that she just can't compose a sentence is saving her from killing herself.
Guys, let's show some respect. This is the birth of Evanescence right here, all right?
Her next line, somebody please wake me up inside.
Yeah.
Wow.
Save me from the nothing I've become. I don't want to be in the Punisher.
All right, so Lydia's what? Like,
it's a stingray.
It went there. All
right,
so
sorry, it's Daredevil, right? Yeah. Now, Punisher? Okay, whatever.
No, Punisher was the one with the stingray.
Yeah.
No, Punisher had the stingray. Daredevil had Evanescence.
Wait, I thought they both had Evanescence.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh, God. All right. Anyway.
Evanescence has been in a lot of bad movies. Anyway, so she goes up to talk to Adam and Barbara and, you know, runs into Beetlejuice. And she's like, oh, I want to die. And he's like, well, you know, maybe we can work something out, but I got to get out here. You know.
And
how old are you, 15? Yeah, I want you to die too.
Spoiler. Yeah. He likes her. Spoiler alert. I love this movie. But yeah, I don't get this because like, what are you trying to get out of? The model? Is he just trapped in the model at this point? Because somehow he got into the model, so yeah. Where is so he? What is the...
He is in the spirit world? Question mark?
Yeah, there's a lot of question marks.
So he could probably manifest a little bit, or he's just totally playing her.
Mm-hmm.
Like he wants to be a real boy.
Well, no, there's definitely something to that him trying to get out because so they just, say you let him out without putting him back. Or
yeah,
something,
he may just be trying to get out of the spirit world.
Yeah, or maybe like
yeah, but like
yeah, it can he can be bound to a new location or something like that through her. I don't know. He can be bound to her, and
I don't know. There's a lot of questions, but that's fine.
Yeah,
maybe because she's alive and he can manifest easier if she calls him. I don't know.
Well, not just that, but like just from the get go, like he seems to be a thing that's trapped, quote unquote, that the Maitlands need to release. That's they claim, you know, they basically accuse them of starting all this trouble. But like, he didn't seem to really be trapped at all. So right. I don't really get that.
Maybe it's whatever. Like old school vampire rules. You have to like invite him in from having, you know.
Well, no, because he gets into their model before they even know about him. So I don't know. But anyway, yeah, he's like, you need to release me. I can help you out if you help me out.
So Barbara and Adam. They show up and they're like, check it out. Why don't, instead of scaring them, let's just be like, fuck it. We'll live with them. And
yeah.
Just be cool.
But it's too late for that because we're going to make this an amusement park.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to invite Robert Goulet and his wife.
And we're going to bring him on board the guy who made the talking Marcel Marceau statue.
Yes.
Wait, what?
He was a mime.
I know who Marcel Marceau
was. That's a line. He's excited because they got the guy who famously invented the talking Marcel Marceau statue.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, that's mentioned in his proposal.
Nah.
There's
probably other jokes in there I missed. But
so Goulet's like, look, bring on the ghosts. And Lydia's like, yeah, they're not going to come. Yeah. And then
we have like, Otho.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. This fat, useless pile of crap.
He has assured me that he knows how to run a seance.
He knows how to read poetry out of this book that he found for some reason.
You know what's messed up? So as a kid, I was like, oh, that's fat guy. And now I'm like, that guy's just regular.
It's just a guy.
That guy's my size. So bad.
That's how I look in a suit. All right.
See, I still think that's a fat guy. I just feel sadder for me.
Not now that you pooped all that pee.
Well, yeah, true. True.
All that pee.
Losing 20 pounds on my ass.
I'm sorry, listeners. Who aren't fully aware of what's happening right now.
Oh, I got sick. I lost 20 pounds because I pooped out my ass
out his pee. Yeah.
I'm sorry, listeners who now know what's going on.
Actually, I'm sorry. He peed out his poop.
All right, please stop.
All right, that's moving this along. So Delia's like, all right, look, let's summon them. I got their wedding clothes. Bam. I don't know why I kept them, even though it showed that I hated them earlier.
Kinky sex,
yeah.
Maybe, but again, nice. They set up early.
Family's wedding clothes. It's great. Anyway,
that's how I roll.
So Otho, yeah, he's like, so when I said I know how to summon them, it's kind of like I know how to do the first step, and I haven't read any more of the book beyond that.
Yep.
I know how to make things real awkward.
Yep.
It's like Aaron and Game Grumps every time they play a game. Like, I know how to play games, so I get the basic idea. But all the, like, little details, I have no idea what the controls do.
Nor do I have any interest in learning that.
Yeah, I'm not going to pay attention.
Like that first thing from IKEA you build. You
know, or that.
You see the first page, like, oh, I get this. And then when you're done, you're like, I have all these pieces left.
Like, what? It's a bookcase. I don't want a bookcase. It's like, I can figure this out.
Rapidly aging and falling
apparently
apart.
All of you are simpletons, but that's all right.
Well, I was kind of confused when I had to summon my IKEA by getting its old box and do a necromantic ritual.
That's pretty standard.
They do things weird in Sweden.
I hate having to summon an old
awaken,
box.
Awaken!
So, yeah. All right, they're floating there, and it's a pretty cool effect watching like their wedding clothes sort of inflate and them.
I think it was done real well.
Yeah, and it's kind of spooky. They can't really talk or anything. They're just sort of there.
That's where the whole $1 million went.
Yeah, and then they just start aging like crazy.
Yeah.
And whatchamacallit.
It's pretty much every episode of this podcast goes.
Yes. So they're like, hey, Otho, why don't you stop doing that? And he's like,
I didn't
all
read
I
that
got.
Far.
Yeah, I just
didn't get that far ahead.
Yeah. I can turn it on. I can't turn it off.
So Lydia, she freaks out.
Yep.
Well, they look like the re-dead from Zelda, which is always really kind of creepy.
So then, she runs over to Beetlejuice, and she's like, help him. And he's like, well, you got to marry me. And she's like, okay, fine.
Whatever.
There's a joke there somewhere.
Yeah,
somewhere.
I'm choosing, not to search
for it. Jeffrey Jones was like, damn, I missed my shot.
Wow.
And I like the little build up here where, you know, she slowly says his name and like that after that second time, you know, he sort of like dusts himself off and gets ready and then
showtime.
It's showtime. Yeah, but
okay, so hold on a second. He has to like they have to do charades for her to guess his name.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
He's like, I'm gonna turn into a bug. She's like, that's a beetle. He's like, yeah, you got it. Then he turns into juice and she's like, I don't know,
beetle breakfast.
Breakfast? And I'm like, are you English or retarded?
Seriously. Well, beetle drink?
Beetle drink. Beetle orange. I'm like, come on. It's juice, man. Juice.
I get what they're trying to do here. And because of the structure of it, this is the way it kind of needed to go.
Sure.
But, like, you would think it would be like, you know, your fly juice, your...
There's a carton. Yeah. There's a carton.
Roach juice. There's a carton that says juice on it. Yeah.
It says juice. He should have turned into the friggin' Kool-Aid man. Like,
glad he didn't turn into O.J. Simpson. In 88, that could have actually happened.
Yeah. No, but it was, like, the way it was going about, you would think, like, he would have had the carton stay there, and then, like, juice slowly starts getting bigger and lighting up until it's, like, just right in her face. Like, juice.
You could turn into anything you want. You could turn into a beetle and a plus sign and a thing of juice.
Like if I see a beetle, I'm like, huh?
Bug
juice. Well, bug juice.
Yeah, that's my thing. Like, I would have had a harder time getting beetle probably than.
Real talk. If I saw a bug that big, I would just kill myself.
Right out the window.
Nope. It's right out the
window.
Nope.
All right. So
I hope I just have paperwork.
Plus, I'm pretty sure the or no, whatever. I think the bug was on the side with the window, so she didn't have a way to get out.
Okay. Brian would have smashed through the wall.
No, I'm not talking about what Brian would have done. I'm saying Winona Ryder didn't have that.
She would have splattered up against the wall.
Listen. One of those house centipedes crawl out of the drain of the bathroom downstairs.
Can we not talk about house
centipedes? I haven't used that bathroom for a week.
I don't blame you. I would have just burned it.
The whole bathroom.
Just burn it all. Just burn it.
I've not been there since. I saw it.
I would have poured an entire gallon of bleach down.
Well, I sprayed Raid over every surface in the bathroom.
Nothing like bleach. Just bleach it all. All
right.
I want to not smell.
Put a whole lie down there. It's all good.
Yeah, just disintegrate everything.
So Tim Burton just runs wild here.
Oh, yeah.
It's fun.
It is fun. He turns it his crazy carnival attraction.
You get a first little jackhead.
Mm-hmm.
What? It is a Jack Skellington head.
It is.
More or less. But that's just because that's Tim Burton's skull. It's a Tim Burton skull.
Yeah. You get a little jackhead. So
He's got a little mobile going around his face. He turns his arms at the hammers.
I fucking love
it. It's a black and white striped fantasy.
Yep.
Tim Burton.
But I love the way this works and like how he's like talking them into this, like, isn't this going to be amazing? And they're just totally oblivious to the fact that they are becoming the attraction.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
notice the boards appear behind them. Yeah, they are just overcome with wonder. And
the Deets notice and don't say a thing. Yeah. You actually see Charles like goes to do something about it, and Delia is just like, nope, don't let it go. Just let it go.
And he launches Goulet and his wife right into the ceiling.
Right out of the movie.
They're out of the picture. They are dead.
They're gone at this point.
They're in the Lost Souls room.
Yeah. And you never really even think about them anymore.
Nope.
But
nope.
Yeah. Just murder. All right. So now Otho's trying to run away. And I like how Otho gets dealt with, because it's one of those ones where this really shouldn't be a problem. But he just makes does a little finger gun, and he's like, pew, and just puts him in this like powder blue suit.
Awful suit.
It's like an Elvis suit.
Yeah. And Otho loses his shit and just runs out of the film.
Yeah, he is not stylish anymore. And you can't take
it. He's never coming back.
No. Polyester tracksuit.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the perfect torture for Otho.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, cool. You know, why can't I remember their name? Barbara and Adam. They're saved. And Maitlands. He's like, the Maitlands, yeah. Now he's like, well, Lydia, time for us to get married.
One thing left to do.
I'm in my Cesar Romero Joker suit.
Yeah, pretty much.
I thought it looked like Ron's dress robes from Goblet of Fire.
Well, it does, actually.
It does.
Yes.
But Brian wouldn't get that, so let's just think of Cesar Romero. Yeah.
Some people listening will get it.
Lydia's in her red dress, and it's wedding time, and the Maitlands are just like, no.
So why was it a red dress, do you think?
Because that's the worst dress you could wear.
I have theories, but I'm not going to say them while my wife is here.
Do not say them. Eat a Dorito.
No, I will say.
I can't. Eat a Dorito. Like, all gone.
Eat the rest of it. There's two bags here, Rob. Eat Doritos.
I believe the wedding mythos is dress of red, better off dead. So that, you know, since she's might be dying or something, I don't know what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
When she marries Beetlejuice, I don't know if that constitutes a death or what, how this works out. Is he coming alive? Is she dying? I don't know, but that could be a thing.
So he's like, now he's just like, all right, done being nice. Sculptures come alive.
Trap witnesses.
Yep. Trap Delia and
make sure you can't cause any trouble here.
And these effects, like, still think they're pretty cool. It might just be the nostalgia, but I remember when I saw this as a kid, I was like, whoa.
Yeah, the block with the brainy looking thing with the tentacles, that freaked me out as a kid.
Well, I mean, aside from the, like, when the statues are moving on their own, it's like, stop motion.
Right.
But then it's like practical effects and we're actually capturing the guy. So, or, you know, the
Deets.
Deets, yeah.
Well, this is also one where it's beautiful because since they are sculptures and they're done with like claymation to move around, like it totally just looks like it does throughout the whole thing. Like
until that redonkulous preacher shows up.
Mm. Well, I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about the sculptures. Well, those yeah. totally like, it just looks like, oh, you brought these sculptures to life.
Yeah. It's just totally convincing. Summon Tony Cox powers.
Yes. Yes. Summon Tony Cox in a...
the dead alien monster thing.
Close yeah. Encounters of the Third Kind. Freaking, oh gosh.
My favorite, I'm sorry, just skipping ahead a little bit, though, is just after they've dealt with Beetlejuice and this little thing is just standing there like, well.
Yeah, just,
guess I'm going to go.
Yeah, your but guess is totally, good of mine, guys.
It's totally a, here, wear these gloves that don't fit and just this giant yeah. alien head that couldn't possibly look real.
He didn't have the money.
So yeah, so, all right. What's his name? Adam, he tries to say Beetlejuice, so Beetlejuice is like, you ain't got no teeth. So the teeth say it. And then you get this weird, like, Beetlejuice is sort of stomping around, trying to step on these.
Like river dancing. Dance,
yeah.
Or speaking of the Joker.
About. Yeah. And, like, I guess this is, like, turn-based rules, because, like, Barbara could have easily said Beetlejuice three times now.
Yeah, this is a bit of a problem, too. Just like, yeah, Barbara says Beetlejuice. He's like, here's the zipper. And then she says Beetlejuice again. And he's like, oh, you Margaret. And it's like, say it again. Say it again. Yeah. And he could have said it again. Like,
and he just gives her, he throws a metal plate over her mouth, hits the pixie dust, teleports both of them.
Which, again, why didn't you do that from the jump?
There's a lot of things that happen in this scene. Like, I love this scene, but, like, everything, I'm just like, why? Why does that work? What's, yeah. You know, what are the rules here?
There are no rules.
There are no rules. It's just Tim Burton is just going crazy.
Adam gets teleported into the model.
Yep.
Gina Davis is...
just sent to Saturn.
Yeah, what's her name?
Sorry, Barbara.
Barbara, sorry. I keep forgetting that. I don't know why, but yeah, she gets sent to Saturn.
It's Brabra.
Brabra.
B-R-A-H.
Brabra. Brabra. All right. Anyway.
Yeah, so now... all right, he's trying to marry them, and he gets double teamed here, where he gets like a little toy car on the model driven into his foot.
He gets the hot foot spell.
Yeah, he gets the hot foot spell to end all hot foot spells.
Somehow.
And then just, Barbara just comes crashing through the roof, riding on a sandworm.
Yeah, why not?
She just befriended, rode it through a dimension.
Or she didn't befriend that thing. She showed
she
it
just
to
rode on it. Yeah.
I'm in charge.
Yeah.
So,
look at me, I'm a captain now.
So we're to understand that, like, she did cross dimensions because to everyone else in this house, that house is just in Connecticut somewhere. Yeah.
So it basically, this sandworm smashed through from the second floor and then smashed into the basement. Both of those are now portals to Saturn.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it eats Beetlejuice.
Mm-hmm. Shh. Shh. Don't ask how.
They're portals to Saturn to the ghosts.
Yeah.
To Lydia and everybody else. They're just holes in the ground.
Yep. Sure.
But, you know, again, Beetlejuice is gone. The preacher's like, all right, I guess you don't need me.
My job here is done.
And this mask is hot as fuck.
Can't breathe.
And it just cuts to, like, the epilogue. We're just like, all right, good times.
Because that's enough. Like,
Never mind, there are two dead people in our second floor.
It's like months later, the Dietzes are pretty much, like, chilled now.
Mm-hmm. First of all, they're not in the second floor. They are gone.
Yeah.
They are in the stratosphere somewhere. Yeah. They're just gone.
It's like in Mythbusters when the water heater goes through the house.
Just... don't you worry about that.
Yeah, they're not here anymore.
Yeah, some small Connecticut forest now has chunks of people that will show up months and down the road. It's fine.
So we get another like music video, basically. Well,
yeah, Lydia comes home and you see, like, you know, it looks like, what's her name? Delia's calmed down a bit. The house is sort of reverting back to how it was. And then as a reward for doing well in school, she gets to be possessed.
Well, I think it's funny how Adam and Barbara have become the parents to Delia to Lydia. He's like, how was school? How'd you do on your test? We studied so hard. Like,
And Charles and Delia are like, this is great. We could just totally neglect her.
it's
perfect.
Yeah. Charles is happy just reading his magazines, and Delia is making a horrible sculpture of Beetlejuice.
Mm-hmm. Just scares the crap out of him with that. Yeah. football teams there for some reason.
Sure. Why not?
Why not?
Yeah. And you see Beetlejuice is now actually in the dead lobby. I guess he died again.
Yeah.
He got sent back there, you know.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
like, you know, when you kill a demon, it goes back to its plane.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's got Take a Number in the waiting room.
There.
And he's got like just some colossal number. Tries to take the four from the head shrinker next to him. Gets a really, really bad special effect. Like, yeah, you can clearly see like where they clipped the shot of his head.
Oh, yeah.
And it's fun, but it's like, oh, wow, that one did not age well.
Yeah. Nope. Not at all.
That's all right.
And that's it. You know, we just end it right there.
The end of Beetlejuice. All right, so that was Beetlejuice. Who's got details about the Rotten Tomatoes scores?
On RottenTomatoes.com, critics gave this a score of 84%. Audience gave this a score of 82%.
All right. So how do you feel about that, Brian?
No, I think this movie, for all the effects that kind of don't quite work anymore, it doesn't matter. Like, the movie earns enough like fun points where like you're just like, oh, you know, it didn't take me out of it in any of the scenes, whatever. So I still enjoy this movie. I still say watch it. It's still a great movie to me. You know, I'll give it a B+.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Tony, how about you?
Yeah, I think everybody at the table already knows this, but I fucking love this movie. I've seen it so many times. I almost brought my copy of The Guide to the Recently Deceased with me today. I love this movie. It's definite recommend.
So you're saying you left your copy at home?
Dalto stole it.
Yeah. I'm not.
Tony gave him a polyester suit, though.
Okay. I'm not dead yet, so it's all right.
All right.
But yeah, I love this movie. I definitely recommend it. Yeah, some special effects aren't as great as they could be. Yeah, but you know what? I think the general B movie kind of campy nature of it makes up for it and kind of makes it work. So definitely recommend for me.
Joe?
Yeah, this movie is, I would say it's like an A- for me.
Okay.
I really like it. Much like how I like Jurassic Park, there a lot of stupid things happen, but it's so, like Brian said, it's so fun that you don't care.
Yeah.
That being said, I still got to deduct points for some stupid, but that, you know, a few points, like 5 points.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. And it's just a really good movie. Everyone in it, I think, performs really well. While I didn't remember so many of Beetlejuice's jokes not landing, I think he's much more of the shotgun approach to his comedy, where he's just constantly doing stuff, and so some of it's annoying, some of it's funny. I don't understand how we went from this to the cartoon, where suddenly friends with Lydia and they're just going on adventures. But that being said, movie goes by quick. Fun throughout the whole thing. Music's great. I like the incorporation of the Calypso, even though I would never listen to that music. Like on my own, I thought it fit the movie very well. And this is when Tim Burton was fresh and original. So like all parts of this movie were firing on all cylinders. Well, the special effects for 1988, they were firing on all cylinders.
Man. Right.
Admittedly, that's not a lot of horsepower right now. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, like A-.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, as much special effects are in this movie, I feel like this movie is not about the special effects.
No.
No.
And it's just about the story and the stuff that's happening. And I think it does that really well. So I this is a total recommend for me as well. Even though the special effects don't necessarily age super well, but mm-hmm. I think everything that's there, like, you just take it as part of the story and it works in that context. So yeah, it's totally a recommend for me. It's a super fun movie. It's super silly. It doesn't take itself too seriously. And I really appreciate it about that. So yeah,
I feel like for 80s and maybe 70s too, like, unless special effects are atrocious, you understand like the things you're seeing is not real. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Like
so it until like the 90s where things get a little better that you're like, oh, that takes me out of the movie. Like,
I think we could all agree that in no way does this movie need a sequel or a remake to make the special effects better. Like, yeah. It's fine how it is. Not. Leave it alone.
I would want to see the horror version of this movie, though.
Would you?
Just to see what how
not, not how they would, juice, no, no, but something about like, the same yeah, concept. They,
I would like to read the whatever original script.
Yeah, 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 like, I want to see like, how, yeah, how they would, this would have been a horror movie. Like, mm-hmm.
But and that's that goes back to what I was saying of the like with the special effects not being as great with the head shrinking and stuff. If this had been a more serious movie, if this was a horror movie and had something like that happen, this would have been terrible. But because it's more comedic and because they played up that you know, B movie style to it, I think it totally works, even with the kind of dumb special. Like they, it just makes the movie even better in a way.
I mean, you could just cut Beetlejuice out and leave, you know, Jeffrey Jones and still be kind of a horror movie.
Like it, if this was more serious for horror, I think it might have come out like Evil Dead.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, you know, serious horror movies like
no, Evil Dead. Like because they were trying for a hot minute, and they were like, nah.
It's not going to work.
Well, yeah, you can literally see the progression of that one, because watch Evil Dead, then watch Evil Dead 2. It's like, oh, yeah, we're just going to do it again, but play up the humor more.
And then watch Spider-Man 3.
Oh, jeez. Let's not.
Watch Topher Grace and those vampire teeth. Curse Spider-Man. I'm a villain.
He was trying to take something out on the studio, and he took it out on all of us, but let's not get into that.
Does anybody else... This movie made me think of this Sega Genesis video game. I have no idea what it's called, but you were a poltergeist haunting this family out of a house. And you ran around. They couldn't see you, but there were other ghosts that were stalking you that were trying just to take away your... I think you had, like, ectoplasm or something was your life.
I think that was the Casper movie time game.
No.
But this game... I remember it being fun, but I don't remember it well enough. So I guess it wasn't like a classic or whatever. But I remember it had a cool dynamic because you could jump into things in the world. And then when you could jump in the cabinet, and when the family member would come by and open the cabinet, you got to like throw plates at them or something. And like everything in the world you could interact with in a different way.
Was it called Haunting?
I don't know.
Haunting, starring Polterguy, is a 1993 comedy horror video game released for the Sega Mega Drive Genesis by Electronic Arts.
Could be.
Taking control of a poltergeist named Polterguy, the player must bring various household items to life in order to frighten a family away from their home.
Yeah.
Polterguy. Wow.
Polterguy.
It had its flaws.
1993, Brian. That's what we're getting.
It had a cool dynamic. And then if you ran out of ectoplasm, I think, because it was constantly going down, I think you had to go back to the spirit world and you had to like run around.
I remember this.
Yeah, run around like some labyrinth or something and pick more up.
You had to charge your crystal.
Yeah, you had to charge your crystal. Just masturbate furiously. It was a button masher at that point.
With a buddy.
With a buddy.
Yeah. Isn't it always?
Wow.
My whole life is a button masher. All right. So that was Beetlejuice, guys. What's up next, Brian?
So we happen to have a special episode coming up because we have a sponsored episode.
We do.
Someone texted us on Twitter with the hashtag selling out.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't really say much else beside that. We actually got...
You didn't specify they should.
Well, no, we didn't, but...
You probably should have said at least hashtag...
No, it's fine, but if you want us to also, like, say something in your honor, please do so.
Oh,
but this comes to us from Megan, and she bought a sweatshirt.
Thank you, Megan.
Won't be thanking her for long. She wants us to watch Michael Crichton's Timeline.
I believe the Michael Crichton movie that made Michael Crichton stop letting people make movies out of his books.
Wow.
Which, I mean, well, this isn't that some doing.
I don't know if this is rock bottom.
That's like after Congo, so you know.
This isn't a Sound of Thunder, right?
It's not a Sound of Thunder.
That's good. Oh, yeah.
Didn't Sound of Thunder at least have like cool things in it?
Depends on what you're talking about.
This is Paul Walker in it, so that should pretty much be all
if by cool things.
And Gerard Butler.
If by cool things you mean outrunning the time stream.
Yes.
Then sure.
Butterflies and baboons, man. I don't know.
I mean, don't ruin it until I see it. I'm saying, like,
we're not even talking about the right movie.
It was ruined long before you see it.
That too. Okay, so Timeline.
So that's going to be our episode for the next. So in the meantime, we want to thank you so very much for listening. If you like what you heard, please consider subscribing. For our episode archive, merch store, and more information, you can check out our website at 4ampodcast.podbean.com. You can contact us by following us on Twitter or Facebook at 4ampodcast, or you can always email us at the4ampodcast@gmail.com. And again, if you want to sponsor an episode yourself and you don't want to just donate
We do take donations. $20 will buy you a sponsored episode. You can tell us whatever movie you want us to watch, and we will watch it. Or you can buy some merch on our merch store, again, through our website at 4ampodcast.podbean.com. If you go, you can go to our Teespring website and buy a t-shirt or more, like a hoodie. We have some cool stuff there. And you can Twitter us at hashtag selling out and sponsor an episode that way as well. So
that's, I mean, you can also always just like donate money too. Like,
yeah, like we're happy to have.
Well, so it's a quarter, money. Cool. So it's a dollar, cool. Take it too.
Like, I don't know if they do quarters. I don't know if they do quarters.
Well, dollar, $2.
Sponsored episode. We'll watch The Exorcist 176 times. It'll just keep getting funnier.
Every single time I see it.
And if you want to donate a quarter, if the website won't let you do it, you just, you know, find the street corner that I'm standing at with a cup.
Be fine. Throw it there out. You go. Give Tony a quarter.
By cup, he means athletic supporter.
Yes.
All right, well, I'm saving up enough money for a guitar case, all right?
Until the next episode, I am Rob.
I'm Joe.
I'm Beetlejuice.
Brian.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you in the next one. Bye.
Deuces.
Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice.